Steve, thanks very, very much. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's the Thursday show, part one. We'll do part two later on. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi. You seem to be all giddy after meeting Doc Emmerich in person.
I'm not exaggerating. I will just say this point blank. He is one of my heroes in the world of sports. He does not play sports. He calls hockey games, but he is magnificent at what he does.
And a genuinely wonderful man.
Isn't he?
And I'm very excited that he's in the new NHL 2017 game.
Right, yeah.
It's so cool to hear him and Eddie O, their voices. My kids play it, and it's like, is that Doc?
But were you shocked? I don't know how much of the interview you heard with Steve earlier, but I was shocked to learn that there is no script. He just watches the action and calls the action in the video game. He's not allowed to say players' names. He's not allowed to say teams because they insert that in. And then once he's done calling a play, they do the same play four other ways with him saying other things.
That's how you know you're good, when you don't need a script.
Oh.
Just say whatever you want, Doc.
That's impossible.
You'll be in the game.
Right. Right. So, yeah, my admiration for him, and I hope your admiration for him just does nothing but good. I've never met him before. You've met him before.
And he's so sweet.
What a nice man. In addition to being so talented, he's a nice man.
And a close personal friend of Steve Bertrand's. How
yes.
did you guys hook up?
I missed him. I just sent him a text. I didn't realize he was down there.
Name dropper.
You started it. He came in one day. He's a big fan of Lou Manfredini. When I was working with Lou on Saturdays, he came in. And so then we just kind of developed a friendship from there.
And can I tell you what's so funny? And Doc has explained this to me, that despite the fact that he is not very handy around the house and his wife is the one that is actually kind of handy, he
yeah.
still loves listening to that.
Right, right.
It was just really cute and endearing. I love him.
I told him, well, he started out telling me the story. There was a day that you and I, our topic was the fact that you sometimes make food and you bring it in and then I don't eat it. And you called me out on it. And I said, because you have a dog and I'm afraid that you're petting the dog and then making the food. And Doc was listening that day and texted Steve and said,
lost all respect for you.
If he had any, it was gone that day. He said, I'm afraid these guys are going to fight, you know, and
it's going to come to blows, Bertrand.
And I love the fact that he's a guy that had just admitted on an HBO show that he loves fighting, that part of the fun of hockey is watching guys scrap it out. And he was afraid that you and I were going to fight over that. So, yeah, it all came full circle.
I get a running sort of, it's a running blog on your show from Doc.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
so cool.
But think about this. Everybody who ever announces sports, calls sports, knows that hockey is the hardest sport to call. There's so many elements happening so fast. There's guys on the ice. There's guys off the ice. There's just 1,000 things happening at once, and you have to paint a picture immediately. And not only does he do that, but everyone in sports considers him to be the best at that. That's an achievement.
And a nice little shout out to John Weideman, too, who...
He's great. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's
no,
great, too.
But just the point that was made, that was, you know how good John is because you hear the play happen before the crowd reacts.
Yeah.
Because that's how fast it is.
Yeah.
You cannot, if you're doing, you know, if you hear the crowd and then look to the ice,
right.
you're not
too
doing
late.
A good job.
Yeah, it's too late. So, yeah, so it was great meeting Doc Emmerich, and it was a nice start to the
day.
You're
like a giddy little schoolgirl.
I don't usually get nervous. There are some guests that I get more excited for than others, and he wasn't even a guest on our show. He was on Steve's show, but I went out of my way to make sure. I literally blocked the door so he couldn't get around without saying hello.
He would have looked for you.
Maybe.
He left me all kinds of hockey notes for tonight for the Blackhawks so I can sound really really smart in front of my husband.
You're doing fine on your own. I don't know that you need the notes. You've come a long way.
I have really figured out what it's like to be a sports fan. I mean, a Sox fan, born and bred my whole life. My grandfather was. Go to the games, love it, but got to sneak out and get a funnel cake and a beer because it's kind of slow.
Right.
Hockey is my sport.
There's no downtime in hockey. There just isn't. So, all right, we have a whole lot of things to discuss with you. It's going to be a big show. We're thrilled that you're here. If you want to jump in, we want you to, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, I know this is a kind of a strange way to start off the show, although technically this isn't how we're starting off the show. We're 15, 16 minutes in, so it's fine.
We've started.
Oh, yeah, the show's official.
This is content
it's
now.
It's done. This is content.
There, that we
there's,
said it.
There's this... there's a tax, and I understand how taxes work. I understand the idea behind the tax is you use things, you get taxed on it, and the city or the state or the government, whoever, they benefit. You get charged for things. I understand how taxes work.
And some
work.
Things extra, like alcohol, tobacco, they
right.
get an extra tax.
Right. I get that. I was not aware until last night, though, of the tampon tax. Were you? Did you know that there was a tampon tax?
No.
I had no idea.
I want a class action lawsuit.
You might be onto something. Listen to this. Alderman Ed Burke of the 14th District called taxing tampons and pads unfair and discriminatory. And I agree with him.
I do, too, but he's making that up. There hasn't been a tampon tax.
The city could... Now, that's one of the questions I was going to ask. Is this something that could potentially be in the future, or is this something that they somehow snuck past us without knowing? The city could soon waive taxes on tampons and pads to adjust for the unfair tampon tax on feminine hygiene products, according to an ordinance proposed in the city council on Wednesday. Calling a tax on the products discriminatory and unfair, Alderman Ed Burke and Leslie Hairston submitted a proposed ordinance to rescind the tax at Wednesday's city council meeting. That would infer, if they're rescinding it, that it's in existence. Mayor Rahm Emanuel immediately signed on, saying he would have to study, his staff study it, but added, I think it's the right thing to do. It's an appropriate thing for us to look at. Tampons and pads are currently taxed at the rate of a common product in Chicago. That's 10.25%.
God, look at that tax rate.
Think about that.
Disgusting.
For every dollar you spend on something, you're paying an extra dime.
A little more than
More than a dime.
And, you know, I know that to be true, but just every once in a while it sneaks up on me when someone says it, and right there it happened again.
Well, when you I hate to sound non-American, but when you think about taxes, you're taxed on income. When you make money, you're taxed on it. If you spend any of that money, you're taxed on it. If you save any of that money, you're taxed on it. No matter what you do, you're taxed on it.
And the city's still in a budget deficit.
Oh, yeah.
So how does that work?
Not well.
All right, so 10.25%.
The breakdown on the 10.25% is this. It's a 6.25 state tax. It's a 1.75% county tax. It's a 1.25% city tax. A 1% regional transportation authority tax.
What is that? The tampon doesn't travel very far.
No, it does not.
What is
that? That's everybody handing out their hand. That's everybody with their hand out. It's anytime you buy anything, it's the city, it's the state, it's everybody going, we need a little bit of that, please.
Okay, but so tampons were taxed in addition to, like, say, if I bought a pack of gum? That's what I don't understand, according to this story.
You mean separately?
Yeah, tampon tax, there's taxes on everything. So if you buy tampons, there's going to be tax on them.
Well, all right, I was watching this story, this was on the news last night, and my daughters somehow already knew about this, and they said, because their friends had been talking about it, that this was considered a luxury tax, that it goes above and beyond a regular sales tax.
If that's really true, that has got to change.
It's not a luxury.
Ain't no luxury, I'll tell you that. And knowing my luck, now that there's going to be a class action suit,
yes.
I don't get my period anymore. God bless America.
The proposed ordinance would remove them from taxation in Chicago by categorizing them as medical devices. Could I get a box of medical devices, please? This tax only affects women, and is that fair? Burke asked. These are not luxury items in Chicago. That's what I'm saying. That my daughters were already aware of this, and I'm like, how did this slide past? I had no idea this existed.
Don't say slide past.
Chicago needs to lead the way in eliminating this unfair tax. Calling the tax an unnecessary and discriminatory tax against women, and it is.
Totally.
It is. Hairston added, removing the tax in Chicago and lowering it in Illinois would help to make these products more affordable to women, especially poor women. The two aldermen are also submitting complementary resolutions asking the General Assembly to lower the state tax on the items to just 1%. That's the same rate for food, drugs, and medical appliances.
You can get lower priced brands or generic brands.
I would imagine.
You can afford them.
Right.
I mean.
Right. Is that, I hate to ask because I honestly don't know the price, but are women going without because of the price?
No, I can't imagine.
All right, good. That's good news.
Like Band-Aids and stuff, there are various different kinds where if you go with a brand name, it's going to be more money.
Right.
And that's just crazy. Tampon tax.
We get Keurig. We live it up at our house. The Keurig bandage.
Action figures? I mean, characters on there?
Sometimes we'll get a Spider-Man if I'm in the mood. Yeah. But this is appalling, and I'm serious. I have no idea how this could have been in existence, and people like myself not know that this thing existed. How do they convince anybody that this was a good idea originally?
Well, here's where it comes down to, and if you read this, I'm sorry, because I'm in shock. Not toxic shock, but I'm in shock and I can't believe this. So the state tax on this item would be reduced to 1%, the same rate for food, drugs, and medical appliances.
Right.
So it is above the rate for food. It is above the rate of gum or something.
It's currently taxed at, like I said, a rate of 10.25%, which puts it in the bracket of luxury items.
What about toilet paper? Isn't that a luxury item? Does that have the same upper crusty tax? I won't say that.
Don't.
Because that's a luxury item. You could use newspaper if you wanted to.
See, in my mind, this falls into the bracket of necessity, doesn't it? And toilet paper. I mean, there's certain things that I would bracket much more toward necessity than luxury if I was in charge.
Yeah, well, I think there might be. Are they being hinky here with the words? Because is it 10.25% sales tax, you said?
Yeah.
Isn't that the typical sales tax?
No, it says that here's what it is. The two aldermen are also submitting complimentary resolutions asking the General Assembly to lower the tax on the items to 1%, the same rate for food, drugs, and medical appliances. Right now, the city tax is 1.25%.
Right. So food is not taxed at that 10%.
Food is taxed, according to this, at a 1% rate. Is that right?
Wait a minute, guys. This 10.25 includes a 6.25 state tax.
Right.
They want to reduce it to 1% state tax.
I'm just saying, when they say the same rate as luxury items,
yeah,
it's really the same rate as almost everything. It's not like they're charging them a higher rate than they're
charging for. There's no additional charge.
Right.
An additional tax on this?
I mean, so you buy a toaster. I mean, it's not a higher rate than I think the sales tax would be on a toaster or a glass or something like that.
I don't understand it.
I'm looking through the story to see exactly where they bracket it in that respect, and it doesn't say in my version of the story.
I mean, it seems like it should be a medical supply or something like that. I don't disagree with that, but I just think... I'm worried about the luxury item.
Drugs are taxed, medical appliances are taxed, but now if they change this to medical devices, they won't be taxed.
So it has to do with the wording. It's whatever the wording is, they go by that. Is that how they play it? It's a more flowery name.
Price check.
Right.
Tom.
Right.
What's going on here?
Hey, guys. No, like Steve said, this is not an additional tax. It's the same tax rate that you pay, as you said, Wendy, on gum. So you're not paying an additional 10.25% above the sales tax that you normally pay.
Right, but they're trying to lower it so the tax will come down on tampons and pads. And which do you prefer, Tom?
You don't have to answer that, Tom.
I'm going to plead the fifth on the basis of the advice of my attorney.
Good. That's very smart.
All right, well, thanks for clearing that up. It's still a travesty.
It is a travesty.
Thank you very much. They just wanted to say tampon tax.
I guess.
Shock jocks.
You mean for the alliteration of it?
Yes.
Yeah, because that sells papers.
So they want to tamp down the...
Yes.
Right, that's it. Don't.
Back taxes, though, because I don't... I hit that time of the...
You're no longer...
Lifetime,
you're
right?
You're no longer a subscriber.
That's sure. Now there's a class action suit. I could have been rich off a tampon tax back pay.
It's too late. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then we have a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Wendy, David Hochberg is here. You know him and you love him from the Pearl Mortgage, but he's here today because the Grammy Awards are this weekend, and we wanted to hear your picks for the Grammys, David.
I'm going Beyonce across the board.
She's going to win all the awards,
Beyonce. I want to see her do that song again in the black outfit.
In the Black Panther outfit.
And we called Rudy Giuliani. He's going to introduce her to the Grammys. Yeah, that'd be great.
Can I pay you a huge compliment?
Sure.
Wendy and I had a topic a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not sure what it was, but it had nothing to do at all with refinancing, and a woman called up to get in on what we were talking about, and she said at the beginning, by the way, one of your sponsors, David Hochberg, I called him up with a problem. He said right off the bat, I can't help you, but then spent another half hour on the phone explaining what she needed to do. And she said, I'm not used to being treated that way, but that was very nice of you.
Yeah, because, well, that's what we do. You know,
he's honest. He had to do that to me once, too.
Yeah, and we had to sit down, had a coffee. And a lady called me yesterday. She's 75, husband 74, $150,000 first loan, $150,000 second loan, home's worth $400,000, $100,000 worth of credit card debt. And she's like living off her kids. Her daughters are paying for her bills. And she's like, what do I do? I'm like, I can't help you. You know, how much money you got coming in? She's like, you know, Social Security and what we've got in pensions and everything is about $2,500, $3,000. I said, well, let's do some quick math. What are your taxes out in the Western Burbs? She's like $18,000 a year. I said, okay, $350,000, $400,000 mortgage is $2,200 a month. Your taxes, your insurance, you're over what you make. I said, sweetheart, you got to get out.
Yeah.
So I introduced her to my team at Debt Stoppers, who I refer my guys to that need bankruptcy help, free consultation. I refer them to David Schluter, my real estate attorney, to help her answer all of her real estate questions, what's going to happen with the house when they sell. And I introduced her to Kate Dolan Waddell, who's my realtor out in the western suburbs, to give her a free market analysis. I said, I'm not making any money on this. I don't care if you use any of my people.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not getting an envelope on the backside. These are the people I work with. These are the people I trust. If you call these people, they will give you an honest answer to your situation and you could feel trustworthy. I'm like, who have you talked to bankrupt? She's like, well, I talked to three or four different people. I'm like, do you know any of them? She's like, I don't know any of them. I'm scared. 70 years old. I'm like, call David Wicklin at Debt Stoppers. Tell him I told you to call. He's my personal concierge, bankruptcy concierge, for unfortunately the people we can't help. And white glove treatment.
And I know you. I've known you a long time. And we met because I heard you on the radio and said, I got to call this guy because you're pretty amazing with numbers. And you could help us then. We wanted a refi. We couldn't then because I was a little credit challenged.
Yeah.
And you really care about people. You're the type of person, because sometimes you're a little over the top.
Yeah, a little bit.
And sometimes we get texts like, why would I go with this guy? I got to tell you, I know you well enough to know that you wouldn't be able to sleep at night if you weren't telling people what they need to hear, the truth.
Right. And sometimes people, listen, I'm on the radio talking about real estate and mortgages, right? If you don't put a little pizzazz on it, people drive off the road and I'll be accused of, vehicular homicide.
No one wants that.
Nobody
David.
Wants that.
Nobody wants that.
You got to, put a little, a little spice on it. And some of it show, but it all comes down to when you call, you get a call back. When you write an email, you get an email back. You get a call, you get an email, you get a thank you note. Hey, hopefully the information we provided, bettered your position, opened your eyes to a couple different options. Here's a magnet to put on your refrigerator and three business cards to hand out to your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors that might be able to help you.
Okay? I've known you as not as long as Wendy. David and I met at a Wham concert.
Yes.
Was it 3 years ago or 4 years ago? Long ago.
Right. And you got a lot more hair and you weren't wearing hats back
then. Back then I did not wear a hat.
Right.
It's a long time ago.
And I think it was hit this was what you were wearing on your shirt, your muscle shirt.
Yes.
You still don't, you didn't have muscles then, you don't have muscles now, but it was a good look.
All right. I'm going to refinance that joke.
Yeah.
All right. So now rates, we were scared for so long. Rates are going up.
Oh my God, up.
Didn't they take a dip again?
Back down in the basements. Yeah. I mean, we're putting people in the mid threes. Right? I got to be careful. I can't give specific rates, but.
Depends.
Because it changes so rapidly. Is that why?
Well, there's a lot of variables that go into it. How much you owe, the type of property, your credit score.
Yeah.
So if you're in a condo and it's over 75% loan to value, there's a rate adjustment on conforming loans. But here's the bottom line. If your rate starts with a 4 and you're in a 30-year fixed loan, you should pick up the phone and give me a call. If you've got a 15-year fixed that is greater than 3.5 or 3.625, you should give me a call.
But you say 4, but I know you, and I've heard you talk about this before. You're still dealing with people who are in the 6s and 7s.
I've got a guy right now in Rockford, 7.5%.
Yeah.
I've got a lady right now in Bloomington, 10.5% loan. Husband passed away. Her credit is just completely challenged. She's in the biggest winner contest. One of my guys, Lynn, is fixing her up. She's at 560 right now. We're going to get her up to 620, 630 in about 4 to 5 months. We're going to get her out of her 10.5% mortgage.
People don't know what to do, who to call, or that they should even make a call.
Right. The lady I talked to yesterday, I've been hearing you for years on GN. I was scared. She's like, wow. You know, you're right. All I got to do is pick up the phone. Just pick up the phone and call. I mean, we're not gonna yell at you. I mean,
you might.
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna yell at you. It's like, hey, here's the deal, right? This is where you're at. Here's the information. We could help you. Okay, great. Go for First Midwest Bank. Pick, you take out a home equity line of credit, okay, because that's your best option. Mm-hmm. A couple called me yesterday, 72 years old, living in a house, $300,000. They own free and clear. They want to possibly buy something in the short term to buy another house. I'm like, you're living in a home free and clear. Like, we have no idea what to do. We need a bridge loan. I'm like, take out a line of credit. What, you know, you owe nothing on a $300,000 home. Call Margie and Anna at First Midwest Bank and basically take out a HELOC up to 80%. You'll get access to $240,000. There's no closing cost.
Right.
If you find something you want to buy, write a check and pay for it right then and there. And then if you sell your other house, the loan gets paid off and then you don't have a mortgage on your new home.
Right.
You know, people think that their problems are so insurmountable because they don't do it every single day. Right. You know, they think that like driving his truck is so insurmountable. Yeah. If you've never driven an 18 wheeler before, mm-hmm. if you've never hopped in a 980C Caterpillar front end loader, you know, to operate that, I thought that it was an overwhelming thing and it still is. But I tooled around in one and I moved some dirt, you know, back in the day. But, you know, if you look at those big equipment, you know, you're visioning me in the 980C.
I'm trying not to, but I can't help it myself.
No, I operated a, you know, front end loader and I hopped in a crane and spun around in a crane. I didn't lift anything because I would have broke the boom and killed myself in about 40
minutes.
No one
wants
around
that.
But again, a crane operator. Unless you operate a crane.
Operator.
Chardet wrote a song about you.
Right. It seems insurmountable until you do it. Okay?
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I don't drive a truck, but the people that do make it look so easy.
Explain this very quickly to me. The Fed, not long ago, a little over a month ago, raised the interest rates just a little bit, dramatically, and everybody expected that was the start of a trend there, that right. they'd raise them a little bit at a time, but no, the opposite. Why? What happened?
Because we are in a world economy, and a lot of different factors go into our economy. Dr. J will be a lot better to explain this than I am because he's a master at that. But mm-hmm. you also have to look at what's going around the world right now, and the world economy in certain areas is not doing so good and is tanking in some areas. So that all has a major impact on what's going on here. Okay, and what goes on here isn't just this market; it's the world market, and it impacts our markets as well.
312-981-7200. David Hochberg, how do they reach you?
It's real simple. You can go to my website, WGNDavid.com. It takes you right to the webpage, and you could send an email from there. You give me a call. I've got people manning the phones while I'm downtown. 312-751-1333. 312-751-1333. The call is free, and I can't help you if you don't call. And if I can help you after you call, we will. And if I can't, we won't, and we'll put you in the right path.
312-981-7200. We've got people who have some questions. Somebody's texted us. David for president.
Will you run for president, David?
Yeah,
do you want
president
to
of what?
I don't know.
David and his crew are amazing. They are helping me and gave me some great advice how to get my credit score back up.
There you go.
And I live in DeKalb. Am I close enough for David to help me?
Sure. I graduated from Northern Illinois University. Homecoming queen. Homecoming king.
No, we have to accept your first queen. Answer. Sorry, David.
You were a husky queen.
I was a husky, and I know where DeKalb is, and we could help people in the listening area.
Andrew, how awful did the lady who came in second come that year? If you won that year.
She was very upset.
I would imagine she was.
You guys are mean. Team Hochberg special, if you'd like to find out about it, stay tuned, 312-981-7200. We're chatting with Queen David Hochberg.
I just said queen, didn't I? It was a whole
coming
king for the record.
It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
David Hochberg is here. He's the Vice President of Lending over at Pearl Mortgage. Visit their website, pearlmortgage.com. Pearl is spelled P-E-R-L, pearlmortgage.com. Or David's website here at the station, WGNDavid.com. People have questions and comments for you, David, 312-981-7200.
Hi, Steve.
Well, hello, Wendy. How are you today?
Good. You had a question for David?
Yeah, David, I've been listening to you for the longest time on WGN and everything. You recommend building your credit with a secured
credit card.
Yes.
Which one do you recommend?
Well, there are a number out there. Fifth Third, since you just did a live read from, has got a great credit card.
That's the one you told me about.
Yeah. You go into Fifth Third.
Which I
you
never
give
did.
Them,
sorry.
And a lot of other things I told you to do, which is great. You go into Fifth Third's. You could get a secured credit card for as little as $300. I'm not sure if there's a fee or not, so you could just stop in there and ask them. Essentially, what happens, Steve, is you give them $300, and if there's a fee or not. How it used to be done is that they hold the money for 16 months in an account, okay? And if you're a good boy and good girl for 16, 18 months, it's a certain period of time. So just ask the banker when you meet with them what the term is. The card automatically converts into or converted into an unsecured card, and the $300 that you put up gets applied to your next payment on that 19th month or the 17th month. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and
is this good for a college student?
This is amazing for a college student.
Credit?
This is amazing for anybody seeking credit from 18 to 118. Okay, because I get calls from 90 year olds. Oh, I'm 90. I don't need credit. You know, my credit will never come back. Well, you know what? Yeah, you do. Okay, you do need credit. You want to get a reverse mortgage? You need credit. Okay, you want to go buy a car?
Yeah.
You need credit. You want to go rent a?
It's not the old days where people would pay cash for everything. You know,
sure, you got 30 G's laying right around to go buy a car, 15 grand around, and
some
9 grand
did
to go pay. You know, to go pay an automobile. You know, a used car. So, Steve, stop in a Fifth Third Bank. They do a great job. They report to the credit agencies, which is important. So, all three credit agencies will get notified, and you'll start building credit that way.
Good
all
luck to you.
Good. Thank you.
Right, and I think this is the same thing, but and I almost thought you texted it because this person speaks like you. David, help, bankruptcy, foreclosure, divorce, need a number for a credit card to restart my credit rating. Thanks.
Well, there you go.
Same thing.
Fifth Third's Bank. Also, if everything's purged, First Midwest Bank has what's called a believer loan where you could rebuild your credit that way. So just, you know, go to my website, WGN David, shoot me an email, and I'll hook you up with all these folks that I'm affiliated with, and they'll take care of you.
Member FDIC.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not, but they are. Okay.
312-981-7200. Don, did you have a question for Hochberg?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call, by the way.
Sure.
Dave, my credit's been bad for a long time. I'm just wondering, if I start paying off the debts on my credit, does that help my score in the short term, or does it take a really long time for them to fall off? Or
how much credit card debt do you have right now, Donnie?
Well, about $2,500.
$2,500, and your limits on those cards are $2,500.
Yeah.
Okay. When do you have $2,500 laying around that you could pay it off?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you have $200 a month that you can start chipping at it?
Yeah.
Okay, so $200 a month. Every $200 a month that you throw at it and don't use your credit card, you're getting stronger every single month you chip that payment down. Okay? You got to put the first dollar at it, Donnie, or else it's never going to get better. And when does it help? It helps immediately upon paying it down.
Okay, and now does that also apply to my credit score if I pay it off what's on my credit score?
Yes, it automatically reflects on your credit score the next time that credit card reports to the three credit agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, and then you'll see an immediate jump in your credit scores. As long as you don't jack it back up and reload the credit card or miss any payments or have any collections or anything like that, your credit score will go up immediately.
Thanks, David.
All right, Donnie. Good luck.
And what
buddy.
If Donnie has some extra money on a payday? Can he just make an additional payment online?
Absolutely.
And doesn't that help?
Absolutely. I recommend to people, don't wait until you get your credit card statement at the end of the month.
And who knew? I honestly would save stuff up and pay it when it was due.
Where the hell do you get this information, Wendy? There's no place to get this information.
You.
Except when I'm on answering listeners' questions. Okay, and I'm telling people the truth because these credit card companies want you to carry balances. They're not going to come out and say, oh, Donnie, you know what? Please pay us because we don't want to drill you with 18% interest rate every single month. You know, they want the $200-$300 they're getting from Donnie every single month. This would frost me. You know what I mean? These credit card companies. Oh, by the way, Donnie. By the way, Donnie.
Learn mic technique or I'm going to start charging
right,
you a fee.
I'm the homecoming queen. Don't forget. They didn't teach us that. So show some doggone respect. And Donnie, by the way, here's a $50 to $75 annual fee on top of the two G's we're charging you in interest.
Right.
Donnie, everybody else out there, when you get paid, listen, I'm not naive to think that everybody's got $2,500 in a shoebox underneath their bed.
You knew the answer to that question when you asked them if
they had
it. Of
course I did. Most people live in shoestring to shoestring. They, you know, by the time they get their paycheck on Friday,
get the paddles.
You know, they're trying to make it to next Friday to get the other paycheck.
Right.
Set aside $100. It's a Benjamin, a $50, whoever the hell's on the 50. Send it in when you get paid and just start chipping away. Who's on the 50? Is it whatever. Who cares? You know, whatever you get, if it's 20, throw
right.
it at it. Just start
right.
chipping away at the iceberg,
right.
and it'll start going away.
Sitting next to David is like being at a Gallagher show. Stuff just flies around. It's weird.
All right.
And $50 for the first caller.
Right.
What age does credit start for someone? Like you said, 18. Can it start younger? What do you recommend?
Most people can't get a credit card before they're 18.
Yeah.
Okay. Most people won't. Most companies won't give.
Even the secured ones.
Even the secured cards.
Okay. Unless you can get a debit card when you're younger than that, though.
You can get a debit card because it's your money.
Right.
And, and here's another fallacy. Okay. People think, well, I have a debit card. I'm charging everything on my debit card. You're not charging anything on your debit card. They're taking it right out of your checking account.
Right.
The big banks want you to use your debit card because it's zero risk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You get zero credit history score-wise by using your debit card.
Say that again, because people see the Visa or MasterCard on it,
joke.
And they think that they are getting...
They're getting bumpkus. They're
it's
getting
their money.
Nothing. They are sucking that money right out of your checking account. As soon as you swipe it, it goes, whoop, right out of your account into the store's account. You're not getting any credit history on that.
All right, where do you go to get your credit score really quickly, and then we got to let you go? And
CreditKarma.com. You go to CreditKarma.com. It's free. That's where you go. Can I mention
yes,
that special?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got Team Hochberg over at Pearl Mortgage. Pearl Mortgage has got 130 loan officers. I've got 10, including myself. I've got a little team over there. Okay. And we're doing a ton of loans a month. Here's my special. I've got a team on my show of sponsors that is a bunch of sponsors here. They all sponsor at WGN. So here's my offer to all the listeners out there and all the stations that I advertise on and all the TV stations I'm on. If you refer somebody to us, and we close the loan, not only will you get a Team Hochberg thank you housewarming gift special with special coupons from PermaSeal, MegaPros, Builder Supply Outlet, Alarm Detection, Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, Rose Pest Solution, CJ Wilson Mazda, All Temp, and Stephen A. Leahy, the IRS answer man. All right. Not once the loan
That's
closes,
a great package.
We're going to send out special discounts to everybody we closed the loan for and the people that referred you to us. Now, here's an extra special. When you buy a home, mm-hmm. and if Team Hochberg does your mortgage when you buy a home, PermaSeal, I had lunch with Laura and
Roy. I'm Roy
and
Spencer.
Roy, and you're Roy Spencer?
Hi, I'm Roy Spencer.
A buddy's with Roy and a buddy's with Laura, his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. All you realtors out there, people don't know this. PermaSeal, when you order the home inspection, all you home buyers out there as well, call up PermaSeal when you're doing the home inspection. Have PermaSeal send out one of their licensed professional technicians to go out there to inspect the outside of the house for structural damage. And they will also go in the basement to make sure that the basement doesn't have any cracks or leaks. They'll also make sure you have a backup flood protector. People don't know that PermaSeal does a ton of plumbing, too. And here's a special offer for me, my team. My team at Pearl's got to do it. If you have PermaSeal... inspect your pipes. What did you call it during the break?
I can't say
you can't
it
say
air.
It on
yes,
the air?
Yes, I've said it. It's like a colonoscopy for your sewer system. They send a camera down there and figure out if there's any blockages. That's what it is.
It's real estate. It's a real estate.
It's a real estate term. Right. We won't get in trouble. Well,
all right,
we'll probably
get
I'm Roy Spencer.
Right.
I approve.
If they send the camera.
Sorry, Roy.
Laura, that was...
Laura Ann, I love you too.
And you can't eat for 24 hours before you have
exactly.
this done.
Exactly. And you got to put this good
no
down there.
No red Gatorade.
That's right. Right. You got to drink this milky stuff
no one knows
down
that.
Your pipes.
Anyway, if they find a problem...
If they find a problem, guess
a
what? Guess what? PermaSeal will fix it. We'll go to the seller, get a closing cost credit to fix the pipes. Because guess what? You move in and you don't know what's in your pipes. Tree branches and clogged up.
Going to flood like crazy.
It's going to forget about flood. You're going to have to dig up your backyard, your front yard. You're going to have a major expense on your hand.
Right.
Send the camera through. We do the loan. Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. We will give you a closing cost credit for the. I want the people to not only buy homes, but buy safe homes that they don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars fixing after they buy it. So this is an insurance policy.
David,
amen,
thanks
brother.
So much. Go to pearlmortgage.com, P-E-R-L, pearlmortgage.com. David.
It's WGNDavid.com.
RWGNDavid.com or homecomingqueen.com.
Yes.
You'll find David. He's at all those places. David, thank you very much.
Thank you,
news is next. Bill and Monday, WGN.
I love this music. This is what I was listening to yesterday. When I was getting acupuncture. Have you ever had acupuncture?
No, I'm not good with needles, so that is not something that I would do. But you were very excited yesterday at the end of the show going in for your first acupuncture treatment. Was it all you imagined and more?
It was pretty great. They say that the needle is no bigger than a cat's whisker.
Who says that?
I don't know.
People have said that, though.
The... Eastern Ancient Art
of Acupuncture Council.
Acupuncture. Yep. There is one. So I was going to get acupuncture. I got a lot of tension in my jaw.
Stress. You got a lot of stress and tension?
I do, but the worst thing is I clench my jaw so much that my jowls have gotten big. Mm-hmm. My muscles are stronger than a pit bull's.
Oh.
There's going to be a ban of me in some places because I'm part pit bull now.
Steve Dale has actually spoken out about this ban. He doesn't think you should be banned in any cities.
So I went, you know, my dentist has suggested getting Botox, and not for the wrinkles, but because it paralyzes the muscle. And it's been used, a lot of people who have this TMJ, or I don't grind, I clench. Constantly.
When you're asleep. You have this PBJ when you sleep, PB&J.
It's not PB&J.
What is it?
TMJ. Thermomandibular jaw stuff.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. But I can, like, if it's snowing real badly or raining and I'm driving, I can feel myself, like, just clenching my jaw. I've ground down all my teeth. I have a couple of implants because of it.
And some fake teeth. I don't know. Like, can't you stop your... Isn't that one of those things you can't stop?
I don't know what it is. So I went to this acupuncturist because my neighbor said, this is great. She treated... Acupuncture, and I've known, has treated lots of things. Stress, asthma, all these different conditions. So I went. I'm like, whatever. I'm going to try it.
Give it a shot.
I did karate for a while. I got my yellow belt, and then my knees started giving out, and I said, I can't do it anymore. But I got into that whole Eastern thing.
Yeah.
So I went, and it's very calm, and it smells really good, and there are pillows, and you lay down, and she stuck a bunch of needles in my back.
Why your back? If your jaw hurts, why would they go with your
back? Because there are pressure points that correspond to various areas of your body.
All right.
And she put some in my back and around the back of my ear and my jaw.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was laying face down where there's the little hole in the table.
So you can breathe. Which is important. It's all you. Don't stop breathing, Wendy.
I know, and it's really hard for me to relax. But she said, you know, relax. I'm going to leave you for a little bit and come back. And I said, okay. And I was really able. Like I honestly felt after she put the needles in, my jaw muscles relax a little
immediately?
Bit.
Immediately?
Not like immediately.
No. How long did it take?
I think she left me there about 15 minutes. I'd say after about 5 to 6 minutes, I felt like, wow, I'm kind of melting into this table.
Really?
Which is, I can't even lay out by a pool at a resort when it's sunny because I'm too antsy.
Well, why the difference then? Why were you able to do it there and
because
not
she had
a
needles
pool?
In certain pressure points, and she was releasing my chi.
Oh, I didn't know.
My energy was blocked.
Does it, like, can you feel every time the needle is piercing you, can you feel it, or like after one or two, do you just get numb to it and it doesn't matter anymore?
Some hurt more than others.
Yeah.
Some you don't even feel. She must have had, I don't know, 20 needles in me.
All the same size?
Yeah, they're like a cat's whisker.
That's what you're saying, is like a cat's whisker.
Well, the reason I know so much about it is because I was not forewarned of some side effects that I might have had.
Oh, no.
And they're not bad, just confusing. She did the acupuncture. I have had that done before, very minimally, but I've had it done before when I had some knee issues.
Oh.
And actually, I had back issues, and chiropractors frequently also do acupuncture.
So when you had back issues, I'm guessing they put the needles in your jaw, right? Because it's the opposite.
No, I don't know the science to it.
Of course not, because if we knew the science, we'd just be sticking needles in our bodies all day long.
Some people do. They sell do-it-yourself things. I would like to trust someone who's been working on it for years.
There's a do-it-yourself acupuncture.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
So this has been going on since the 1600s, I think. I don't know. It might even be before that. But
the same shop you went to?
No. No.
That's a long time.
No. But so I'm getting the acupuncture, and I'm feeling pretty good. And she said, have you ever had cupping done? And I said...
That's personal.
You don't know me well enough. And I
Happy Valentine's Day.
I said, no, but I've heard about it and I'm intrigued. So the next thing I know, I am feeling all these things on my back.
What kind of things? Cups?
They're like glass cups. You know when you used to go to a school fun fair and you'd throw a ping pong ball in a goldfish bowl that was round?
Yeah.
That's what these things are, kind of with a little lip on them, and they are suction. I was like can back. Can head was in here.
We had can head in. You had a similar story to tell.
All these cups stuck on my back. And I said, that one is kind of hurts a little bit. And she said, I don't determine how tight the suction is. That depends how tight your muscles are. And you're very stressed and you're very tight. So the suction you feel is your own doing.
Wait, explain this to me, because I'm trying to picture. If you put a cup on your back, it won't. There is no suction. What did they do to create the suction?
There are two things, again, that I've read. They can either take away the oxygen in the cup with a match or something, which I didn't smell any sulfur, so I don't think she did that.
Yeah.
Or there are certain cups that, like, you burp it like you would Tupperware.
Oh.
But right, I'm telling you, it's like, and I said to her, I go, oh, this is cupping. It doesn't really hurt, but it's not very comfortable. And she did it mainly in my shoulders, and my lower back, where I've been having a lot of stress and pressure and tightness.
Yeah.
And then after that was done and she took them off, that was a short period of time, maybe a couple minutes, and she'd move them around really quickly. It was like somebody
like the shell
was
game?
Doing the shell game on my back.
Now where's the bean? I don't know. On that cup? No. And then they slap you.
But this was the thing that I didn't understand. After all that, I'm like, wow, I really feel kind of loose here.
Did you? Yeah.
I swear to you. And I am always wound so tightly. I make Hillary look loosey-goosey.
Yeah. Huh?
Anyway, so after the cupping, now I've had acupuncture and the cupping, and she said, oh, I'm going to do a little gua sha on you. And I'm like,
oh, an appetizer. Is that included with the meal, or you got to pay extra?
I didn't know what that was, but I was like, oh, what did sure.
You, wait. Before you say what it is, if she said, I'm going to do some gua sha on you, what do you think it is?
I didn't even ask. I didn't
you
even.
You just nodded and went, yeah, I some gua sha, bring it on. I'd love some.
I wanted to say, what? First of all, I wanted to say what, and then yeah. I wanted to say, what is that?
Yeah.
But she just
you don't
said
want
you
to
got
insult her.
A lot of tension in your shoulder and your neck,
yep.
Your trapezius muscle.
Then gua sha really is the way to go.
Can we take a break and can I come back and tell you what
yeah.
Gua sha is? Don't look it up.
I won't look it up. I can't even guess what it is. I know there's avocado in it. That's all I know.
Is that a hot or cold appetizer?
It's cold. It's very cold. All right, we'll find out what that is. And if you want some, give us a call at 312-981-7200. We have some left over from last night. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And from Albany Park to Alsip, Brittany and Elliot are trekking north to south in search of Chicago's best of Pulaski. Tune in to Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Wendy had this woman put needles in her. She wanted it.
I did want it, and I was looking forward to it, and I really enjoyed it. And I wanted to tell you that somebody said acupuncture reaches into the fascia of the body and unknots the fascia, relaxing those muscles and releasing toxins. And so when you get cupped, there are like giant, it looks like I got a bunch of hickeys from an octopus.
You have marks all over you? Do you?
From the cupping, yes, because it brings the toxins to the surface. It's not a bruise because I didn't know I was going to have marks on my back. But this gua sha where she was scraping and scraping, I have to show. Can I show you my back and get your reaction on the air?
I don't know. I guess. Yeah.
And it's
all right.
The reason I looked this
warn
up when
me
I got
first,
home.
Though, what am I going to see?
When I did, I give you a little warning of you might see some hickeys.
Yeah. Was that from the gua sha?
That was
from
the cupping.
Stop off somewhere on the way home. Were you by Midway Airport?
Shut up. The reason I even know anything about this is because when I put my shirt back on at the place and I got dressed and I'm like, God, I feel really good.
Right.
I got home and as I was getting my jammies on, I'm like, what is this? Oh, my God. I turned around. So can I show you my bag?
I guess so. What color are these?
I want your reaction to go on the air. So
I'm
coming over by you.
All right. Can Kevin see this too? Kevin wants to see this too.
And I took pictures to put on the air.
All right. Let's see. Wendy's taking her clothes off as she does almost every day at this time. Oh, man. That's crazy. It looks like you were attacked by wolverines.
Your back looks like the moon.
Isn't that unreal?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, no.
Is that shadowing or bruising? I mean, I can see it through the camera up here.
That's bruising.
Wow. Isn't that
big,
unreal?
Roughly
does it
this
really hurt?
It doesn't really hurt.
How could that not hurt?
Because, and it's so weird because it's like I freaked out when I got home. I said something to my husband, oh, my God, I feel so good. And then I said, oh, I think I have some hickeys on my back. And I was speechless, like I am now.
There's about a dozen or 14, just a little smaller than a tennis ball, all over your back. They're purple. If I don't know if Northwestern wants to sponsor this or not, but they are a nice shade of purple.
Do you bruise easy?
I do bruise easily, okay. But the two worst ones are in the center of my back.
Those are horrendous. No, those aren't the size of, those are not the size of tennis balls. Those are much, much bigger. They look like two of the red states. It's an election year, so those look like two of the red states if we were doing a map.
Is there something on my neck there, too?
Yeah, that one's not bad. You do have kind of maroon marks.
This faded. This was worse last night.
It was worse than it is now?
So I freaked
out. You paid for that.
I didn't. My insurance covered it, which is awesome.
Oh.
And the visits are, I think if you don't have insurance, they're like $35. It's really reasonable. I'm going to go twice a week. I also have ear seeds in my ear to make the
chia.
That's what they look like. They're little like things stuck in my ear to help the
Kevin, water Wendy. Let's see what happens.
Tammy, you're familiar with the cupping?
Oh my gosh, our son was in China doing an internship, and he went to a spa and had the cupping done, and he sent us pictures. His back was like a domino. I could not believe it. And those marks lasted a couple months.
Oh, no.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm supposed to go twice a week. And I'm telling you, she really released so much tension in me. I feel awesome.
Look at the trade-off, though.
But this is what happens. So, Tammy, your son's doing, like, he's learning how to do that?
No, he just went when he was over there doing an internship. But the funny thing was he went to a beer fest the night before, and I said, you know, you escaped with your life. Those things sort of exploded with all that alcohol being whipped out of your body.
And that's the thing. You're not supposed to, you know, have any alcohol or do any heavy exertion for 24 hours after you get this done. I'm going back twice next week. How can she do this again if these haven't healed?
I don't know.
Oh, it lasted a long time.
There are parts of your back that are not purple or maroon, so my guess is she'll go after those places. But at some point, you're going to be a different color. You're turning a different color.
Did she give you a heads up that might happen?
See, that's the only thing that bothers me a little bit. Is imagine like if we were going on vacation next week or something, and I did a little of this cupping just to get, you know, relaxed for the vacation. I'd be sporting a suit with my back looking
right.
Like somebody whipped me.
Right.
It's bizarre. Thank you, Tammy. But
doesn't hurt right now. Just moving around doesn't hurt.
It's. I don't know how to explain it. It feels like a sunburn.
It looks way worse than a sunburn.
But it's not a bruise. It's just
the
surface.
It's the suction. I get that. But oh no.
I know. So it's like I'm a little apprehensive about going back. But I'm telling you, I feel so much better. At one session,
yeah.
And she said, you know, come twice a week for a while, and we'll
and I'll be nicer to you.
We'll regroup after that. It didn't really hurt. I just have you ever
that
had like a really
hurt?
Super deep tissue massage? Because
no.
I don't like it hard.
Yeah.
There you go, Nick DiGilio, use that. I don't like it hard. I like, you know, like a soft massage, but like a Swedish massage is getting down deep in there to get those muscles.
Right.
That's what this was, but with like
with a cup.
With a spoon or something. The gua sha is with like a tool.
We had a caller say that he felt like he was listening to Playboy. Tampon talk. It just keeps going deeper, yeah.
I'm telling you.
I looked up gua sha, and here's what it says. Ow! That's the definition of gua sha.
But if you look at those marks, it's the same that I have. Because
I
came home and saw that, to answer your question, Kim, I freaked out because it's like my husband went, oh, my God. So then I'm like, what? He's like, look at your bed. And then I freaked out. So I didn't know it was going to be like that. And then when you look it up, there are a lot of swimmers. And I seem to remember seeing this before in the Olympics and stuff where they will have all these polka dots on their back. And I'm like,
right.
What is that? They did cupping to release some tension and from the muscles.
But you're maroon.
I
like
know.
Maroon 5 would use you as an album cover at this point.
I am not a fan of that band. Would you pick another band?
I'll find somebody. Well, as long as you're not in pain, because I'm looking at you, and that looks really painful.
It doesn't. It's like I'm aware of it. It's almost throbbing a little like a sunburn would.
Yeah, I guess.
You know when you get a really bad sunburn?
Could you put my first move would be to put aloe vera all over everything.
No, she put some kind of like lavender meets eucalyptus lotion, and she saw it, so she wasn't gasping like, oh my God, look what I've done.
Well, that would be bad for business if she did that right afterwards.
I can't wait to go back.
Really? All right.
These little seeds are embedded in my ear, and I said, am I going to be able to wear headphones? They look like little piercings. Maybe I'll get a seed in my nose just because it's very...
That's chic.
It's supposed to keep the effects of the tension that she's pushing out. Oh. Like, it makes the acupuncture session, the results go longer.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm intrigued by this stuff. It's just...
It's just what?
It's pretty bad.
It looks pretty... Seriously, if I didn't know what you had done, if I didn't realize you had just recently been cupped, I would call the police. I would say something horrible has happened to you.
That's why I wanted you to see it on the air, because your reaction...
That looks bad, and it's better today than you said it was last night. I can't imagine what it looked like last night. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Do you think Dean's had some cupping done?
Oh, Dean is. He's probably being cupped right now, I bet. I wouldn't be shocked. All right, a break, some news, and then we'll talk to the recently cupped Dean Richards. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Dean Richards joins us, as he does pretty much every Thursday, to talk about movies and entertainment in general. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm fine. I just posted on my Facebook page that I was going to be joining you guys, and I'm trying to figure out why I have a picture of Shirley Temple sitting on a train on my Facebook page.
Some things are better left unexplained, don't you think?
That's right. It's as if I posted it, though. I think Shirley Temple is talking to me from the Good Ship Lollipop from the grave.
It was the sequel on the Good Train Lollipop. Didn't sell as well as the ship, but that's all right.
Somehow Ship a little more romantic.
Way more.
Reason. I don't get it.
Way, way more. Before we talk about the movies coming out this week, I just wanted to go over something. I know you're aware of this. They changed something about the Oscar speeches, whereas now... They've come up with a way where there will be a crawl line underneath the Oscar speeches with all the producers and all the agents and the little people, right? Is that what they're doing?
Well, right. The people, when the stars go up there to accept their awards, and they pull the little note out of their pocket or their brassiere area, and they, you know, just go up there and read a list of notes that, you know, couldn't be more boring to the viewing audience. So apparently... they've asked people to submit those in advance, and if they wind up winning, they're gonna wind up running those, you know, on the lower third part of the screen, so everyone will get their thanks. Nobody will get left out, and the winner can speak more from the heart and say more things like, "Oh, I didn't think this was gonna happen."
Yeah, right.
We're gonna hear that from everybody.
I don't know what to say now that I don't have my list here.
Well, they'll still tell their kids that mommy's coming home. You can go to bed now.
Right.
They like to say that.
Yep.
That's
yep.
always fun.
Maybe they should put that on the little lower part of the screen.
Right.
Here's a message for little Tommy. Go to bed.
Right. Was that an SNL bit where the kids were like, I wonder when mommy and daddy are going to come home? And they were just out partying and doing blow.
They had a
and
crazy
they were never coming home.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be home soon. Maybe I should put you to bed.
And then something from last week, Dean, really quick. I had mentioned this, but we started talking about other things. The Academy under a lot of scrutiny for not having many or any black nominees this year.
What?
Next? Oh, yeah, it was in the paper.
What?
Next year may be different. There's already a movie. We're more than a year away from the Academy Awards. But what are you hearing about Birth of a Nation? Are you hearing the same amazing things I'm hearing?
I'm hearing that it was the highest paid amount of money by a film studio to get the rights to distribute the film. I don't remember the
D.W. Griffith
studios.
Classic?
Originally?
Well, it was originally. It's going to be remade into... It's still going to be a slave story from what I understand, but it's going to be more of a slave rebellion story rather than really a white supremacist story, which is what the original was. They're taking the first name to sort of make a point, but the movie itself will be told more from the perspective of sort of a rebellion of slaves rather than, you know, the Ku Klux Klansman's point of view.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of buzz about it. There's a lot of talk about it. I mean, there always is. I barely even cover what happens at the film festivals.
Yeah.
Because so much can happen. So there's so much of a promotion machine that's going on right now to hype certain movies. Really, all that we know for sure right now is that I think it was offered to Netflix or it was offered to one of the online services, and they were outbid by one of the film studios who really wanted to have a picture of color.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because of a lot of the controversy that's going on with regard to diversity, and they paid a record amount of money for the film rights to it all.
There's an English actor, Nate Parker. He's had small parts in movies like Arbitrage and The Secret Life of Bees, and he's the guy behind this. He's written it and directed it and stars in it. And everybody's saying, even though it's a year away, next year's going to be different because of this guy in this movie.
Yeah, and the voting will be a little bit different next year also. Some of the changes that they put in for the way that you get into the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will have already taken place. I don't think it's going to be a huge change in the voting. But there, you could see that there's a consciousness with it, with the way the voting went with the Screen Actors Guild, whose nominations were much more across the board in the first place, nominations that are determined by its membership, which is in the, 10,000, something mm-hmm. like that. So a much bigger body of people that were making the nominations on this. But, they gave two awards to Idris Elba, and I think there was only one non-black winner at the Screen Actors yeah. Guild in a very clear statement about the lack of diversity at the Oscars this year. So I think things will be a little bit different, as you say, at the Academy Awards next year.
Dean Richards will give you the reviews of the movies coming out this weekend, including Zoolander 2 and Deadpool. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, Dean Richards is with us. Dean, many years ago, Ben Stiller made the movie Zoolander about Derek Zoolander, a model.
Thus the name
Zoolander. I guess that played into why they
named it. He was going to call it Jimmy at first, but no. Then he realized there's not a single person in no. this movie named Jimmy.
That would have been a horrible mistake.
Yeah. On Jeff Hoover's Facebook page, saw a little version of him doing Zoolander as he was at the Hawks game the other night.
Yeah.
He and his wife Tracy in front of or behind Jamal, just looking like a Zoolander.
Oh.
He did what we hate, what people do to us when we're out on the street someplace and doing a live report. And somebody, gets behind the reporter and, starts photobombing them, really. And that's what he did.
It's pretty great.
Doing Zoolander photos is pretty funny.
Please tell me Zoolander 2 lives up to the first one. Is it as funny? Is it as good?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I never really thought that the first Zoolander was a genius comedy. I didn't either,
except I'm Owen Wilson. What's with that moan?
That's how he talks.
I know. What is that?
That's how he talks, man. That's the way he talks.
I think it's awesome.
it's the way he talks. And when I interviewed him recently, he's broken his nose like 15 times.
Yeah.
I could not stop staring at his nose
during
the whole time. I kind of felt bad. But it's so crooked. And he doesn't, a lot of people would have gone and gotten it fixed and straightened, and I just don't care.
Oh.
That's the way I'm going to be. I'm making $15 million. I don't care. the characters, they're the history of this movie is really interesting, because the first Zoolander movie was actually released into theaters 2 weeks after September 11th, 2001.
Yeah,
not exactly. America was not really in the mood for a comedy then. So this movie was a complete bomb when it first came out and was discovered on DVD.
Yeah.
That's where people really, got into the story of this over-the-top male fashion model.
I wondered how that happened, because I don't recall it being a big blockbuster hit
it
or
wasn't.
Anything.
No,
so, yeah.
Bomb. Yeah, it was a complete bomb because of September 11th, of course. But it did come out on DVD. It became cult-like. And Ben Stiller had always wanted to do a sequel for it, but was, a little apprehensive because of the history of this whole thing. But this is one of these movies that's so silly. I mean, if you're going to sit there and take apart the comedy and overanalyze the comedy,
mm-hmm.
it's not that funny. But the fact that they're so committed to this that they sort of realize it's ridiculously over the top. And you sit there and you laugh at this whole thing. The male models have long since retired. They're called back into the modeling business because big stars, famous celebrities are being murdered. But before they die, they do the famous Zoolander blue steel pose with their mouth, yeah. That sort of puckered look with their mouth. And the one that's been in the trailer, so this is not a spoiler, is Justin Bieber,
sure.
Who gets murdered like Sonny Corleone in The Godfather.
Yeah.
They massacre Justin Bieber to the cheers of the audience that I sat in watching Justin Bieber get murdered. But others are also getting murdered in this movie, so they bring back Derek and Hansel as part of the plot to try to figure out who's behind this crime. What's great about this movie is that it's admittedly hilariously, they know that it's silly and are proud of it.
Great.
The other thing that they do with it is they have loaded this movie up with so many celebrity cameos.
Oh, yeah?
One after the other that you just sit there and wonder who's going to pop up on the screen next. That's also part of the delight of this movie. So, you know, I don't think it's great comedy. If you want to go see a movie you're going to laugh at and enjoy, I am going to recommend Zoolander. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Excellent. Can't wait to see it. What about Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds' movie?
I want to see that.
Is my favorite movie of the week.
Yeah?
Maybe my favorite of the year
really?
So far.
Really?
This movie is so good. Reserve yourself a ticket to see Deadpool today, because once the word gets out about how good this is, it's going to be hard to get tickets. It's not like any other superhero movie that you've seen before. Everyone was so concerned because Ryan Reynolds has had so many flops in this particular genre.
Right. Green Lantern.
And he actually also played Deadpool in this kind of mediocre movie Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2009 that that came out. So, you know, he has not had the best luck with box office success. Lately, this movie makes fun of that. This movie makes fun of him being sexiest man alive. This movie makes fun of everything. It is so sarcastic, so completely irreverent. I laughed my head off at
good.
This movie. Something that the commercials are just making this look like an average superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's not at all. I mean, there's a little bit of a thread of a regular superhero movie, but everything is irreverent. I can't tell you the number of times in this movie where Ryan Reynolds just turns to the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and starts talking to the audience for a sarcastic, irreverent reason.
Dean, in the comics, though, Deadpool is a villain. He's a bad guy. Do they play him as a bad guy in the movie?
He's a little bit of a bad guy in this. I wasn't as familiar with the comic book Deadpool, but I know he's sort of the anti-hero from everything that I've read.
But he has a heart of gold.
Oh, does he? Yeah.
And right. He is. Right. He does have sort of a heart of gold. Which is part of the premise with this. But what you're going to be talking about when you come out of Deadpool is how completely irreverent it is, how it's so different from any other superhero movie that takes themselves seriously. This one does not take itself seriously at all. And let me tell you, don't be late for the start of this movie.
All right.
You want to see the opening credits to this film.
All right.
You don't
wow.
want to come 5 minutes late and go, I don't need to see the opening credits for this. The opening credits are pretty funny. Dean's List A on this one.
How about that? Dean says probably the best movie of the year so far. Do one more. Can you do How to Be Single?
How to Be Single is Rebel Williams. It's Dakota Johnson. It's Leslie Mann, Alison Brie, four women who are going through various stages of being single. Rebel Wilson, of course, is the wild child, does want to do nothing but party and one night stands. Dakota Johnson is just out of relationship. She's the one who's never been single before, and Rebel Wilson takes her under her wing to try to learn how to negotiate the whole thing. I think it's just a confused story. It's nice that there's a romantic comedy out, because there hasn't been in a long time. This one just seems confused. It doesn't know if it wants to be a girls just want to have fun kind of movie, or if it wants to be something a little more serious that says the whole single life and the pursuit of being coupled with somebody isn't all that it's cracked up to be. It never really decides what it wants to be. Now, romantic comedy is not exactly my favorite kind of movie, so I may not be the perfect person to rate this.
Yeah.
I honestly was a little bored with it. I gave it a Dean's List C. You know, people who were to whom this movie is directed, you know, might find it a little more entertaining than I did. And I'll just throw in also Michael Moore's new movie. I'll wait for the lightning to strike when you say the name Michael Moore.
Right.
Michael Moore's new documentary has just opened. I love this movie. It's called Where to Invade Next. And Michael Moore, quote, invades, goes to different countries to explore how they handle healthcare in other countries, how they handle free public education, college education in other countries, how they do things in other countries, you know, and suggests that, you know, maybe we could do the same kind of thing in America. I didn't need to see as much Michael Moore. He injects himself an awful lot into this movie and takes away from it. But the idea of exploring how things are done in other countries, we might be able to pick from some of those things and apply them in America, I think is interesting at best. I give that one a B.
Oh, all right. Very good. I know he's a polarizing figure, but he does make some very interesting films. He really does, Michael Moore. Dean, thanks so much. There's a lot to see this this weekend, so we appreciate you being here.
Happy Valentine's Day to both of you.
And to you, sir.
You as well.
Thank you so much. That's the lovable Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks very much. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We started talking about this yesterday, and I don't even remember exactly how it came up, but we were talking about the primaries in New Hampshire.
I know how it started.
Well, you said if the election were held today, you would have no idea who you were going to vote for.
And I like to think I'm not the only one who is flummoxed.
Yeah.
Because, thank you, by the way.
For
flummoxed.
Yeah, flummoxed is a word. You can say flummoxed.
I just thought I'd get a ding, ding, ding for that.
No, that was great.
You know, Hillary is a Clinton. I don't want Bushes. I don't want Clintons.
Mm-hmm.
I want a new breed, but it's not as a newer breed as Trump.
So you would not vote for somebody just by virtue of the fact that they've had a family member in office? Would that
no,
disclude
but that's,
them?
No, that's one of the things that bothers me. And there are, I'm going to have to really do my research mm-hmm. because I am in a quandary as to who to vote for.
Do you regularly watch the debates
no.
when they're on? You do not. Any reason?
Not interested in politics. I'm really not. And now as everything has completely switched around where Bernie Sanders is taking the lead over Hillary Clinton, I thought it was a done deal, to be honest with you. That's why I wasn't watching them.
Yeah.
And now that things have been turned topsy-turvy, it's time for people to do some research and decide who the best candidate is.
Right, 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 right. And even though there is quite a bit of time between now and November, and there's going to be a lot more there's already been more twists and folds and turns than anyone had anticipated, and we're still 10 months away, there's going to be a lot more, and it's going to get uglier and more brutal as time goes on, if that's possible. So you came up with an idea yesterday that I think is a very good idea.
Why don't we do a mock election? I mean, if the election was held today, who would you vote for and why?
All right, I like that. So give us a call. Are we
Do you throw
text?
Michael Bloomberg in the mix now that well, he's
That's a good
that?
Question.
Considering doesn't count. I think if it comes to, I don't know.
Here's
You're
what I'm doing. Yeah, because yesterday I made out a racing form with all the candidates' names. So you got your Clinton, you got your Sanders, you got your Trump, you got your Cruz, you got your Rubio. At the time, you had your Christie and your Fiorino. They are no longer part
Fiorina,
of this. Fiorina.
Everybody yells at you when you say it wrong.
They are no longer. So I've crossed out the names Christie and Fiorina. Kasich still involved, Carson still involved, Bush still involved. Yeah.
Carson, disappointing
showing. He's still, well, I know, but he's not taking himself out yet.
Not dead
so
yet.
So he's still in.
He hasn't suspended yet.
Not yet. And then I'm writing in the name of Michael Bloomberg as well as an independent candidate. So those are your options. And what we want people to do, we'll take texts on this as well, or do you just want to do phone calls on this?
We can do whatever.
Do either one? All right, 312-981-7200. All we're going to ask is simply, who are you voting for and why? It's just that easy.
All right, we have a first one. I support Planned Parenthood. Three friends now have health insurance through the ACA. We need Mexicans here in Michigan. My vote is for Hillary first, then Bernie.
All right. Let's only tabulate.
Yeah, you can only take your
first votes. So we'll go Clinton on that one. Now, this is perfect because yesterday we talked to Kristen McQuarrie about this. A lot of people who are making their decision, I said yesterday, and I'm going to stand by this, when I decide who I'm going to vote for president, it's based primarily on their personality. I get the issues
Seriously?
Being really important. Yes. Yes. I base
You're saying
it more
that
than
out loud?
Yeah, because the promises that are made prior to the election and the reality of what their presidency is are so incredibly different that I, for me, and I know a lot of people have different criteria for what they choose, I go for personality. I really do. And you know,
it's not Actor of the Year, although in a way it is.
It is Actor of the Year.
I just want to go who I think is going to help me and my family the most.
Right. Oh, okay. So that's perfect. We mentioned this with Kristen yesterday. Everybody's idea of what they're looking for in a president is different.
Right.
And she said yesterday that for a lot of people, there's like one primary issue, that that's the thing. And that last texter just pointed that out. You know, all right. Are you ready to do this? Because I'm ready. I got the sheet ready.
Yeah, I am totally ready here. And let's start with Bill. And it's going to be very difficult to take texting ones. So maybe we should just resort to the phones.
Do the phone ones first, and we'll tally those up, and then we'll go through. Because I know the texts keep moving and moving and moving.
So are you taking Hillary off?
Yeah.
Because that's what they said.
All right. So we're starting over.
We're starting
zero.
Fresh.
All right.
We're cooking the books here, Bill.
Yeah, really. I'm still learning, even though I'm already on the air.
That's so are we. So we're all together. Who would you vote for if the election was today? Who and why?
Bernie.
Bernie Sanders.
And he just comes across. He comes across as the most sincere. Out of all of them.
So, Bill, you're doing kind of what I just said, which is you're going more personality than issue-based, right?
No.
No,
I'm not. Not personality. What I mean by him coming across more sincere is the answers that he's giving. You know what? Maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm being fooled by our politician. First time that happened. But for some reason, his answers... They come across as more thoughtful, more logical, and less rehearsed, you know.
All right.
And that's right now. We have time and there's research to be done, but right now, if we had to vote today, and again, you're picking, you know, the least of
right. Final answer, Bill. We got about 20 people online to talk to.
Bernie.
All right,
Bernie,
you're
Bernie,
down.
Bernie.
You're
feel
in.
The burn, baby.
All right,
feel the burn, and have a specific reason. And he was kind of saying personality, like
Don't
what
you,
you
so?
Said. You want to know who presents themselves well, and quite honestly, what they say. Do you believe them anyway?
Good
you know?
Question.
So I don't know, Dave. Who are you voting for, and why? Briefly.
I really like what Steve said this morning. If Donald Trump gets in on the Republican side, I'd vote for Hillary four times. And so I have to go with that. I tell you what, I'll vote for anybody that's a Democrat. And I don't care who they run.
What are you thinking of Bernie Sanders? Why not? Bernie?
I really do like Bernie. I like the energy that he's brought to the Democratic Party. The only thing that concerns me every time he takes a launch or attack at Wall Street, he's affecting my 401k. You know, I mean, we have to temper our, it's not just all capitalism that's the problem. It's not all business that's the problem. We've got to work together, and I think his attacks on Wall Street don't help the economy overall. So that's an issue. So I think he's got to temper it. But I really do like his enthusiasm. I think I listen to these guys. I listen to a lot of it. And Bernie really does he's the one guy that admits the Iraq War was a mistake. All the rest of these guys, they don't even want to mention it. You know, the Republican Party started that war. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that, the Democrats contributed to it. But that was the biggest mistake in the history of this country. And Bernie's the only one that mentions that.
All right. So, again, the final answer for you is?
Hey, Bernie.
Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I thought he said Hillary. Didn't he say Hillary?
He started out by saying that if Trump was to be the Republican, he would vote for Hillary four times. But his final answer went to Bernie Sanders.
It total flip-flop right in front of us. That's how it's going right now.
I know.
Quick break, and we'll take your calls. We're doing a mock election, as Steve Bertrand calls it. We're going to mock the vote, baby. And who are you going to vote for, and a brief reason why? 312-981-7200. It's election year, Bill.
It is election year. Stay on the line if you're there. We'll get to you in a second. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories.
You are frightened.
I am scared. Wendy, I'm
no
scared right now. I'm a little afraid of them. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
I am taking this quiz, which has turned into be a long thing, where you don't know who to talk about. Someone suggested going to this website. Have
you don't
you
know
taken
who to
this?
Vote for, you mean?
What did I say?
You said you don't know who to talk about.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't scroll and talk at the same time. It is called isidewith.com, and you answer a bunch of questions, and it helps you figure out who you should vote for.
They say questions like, are you for or against same-sex marriage? Do you think that the healthcare system needs to be revised? Questions like that.
Yes.
And then at the end of the quiz, it tells you who to vote for.
Should welfare recipients be drug tested?
Right.
And you can say yes, no, and then customize an answer like yes, but under this condition.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, but it's too long. I couldn't get through it.
No, there's no time for that.
So we're doing a mock election. We're going to mock the vote, if you will. And we'd like to know, if the election was held today, who you would vote for.
And why.
If the election were held today, which is the appropriate vernacular?
Mm.
Why am I asking you?
I don't know. I don't even have a vernacular. I had mine removed when I was in grade school. 312-981-7200.
Did you get to eat ice cream after it was removed?
Yeah, they gave us ice cream.
Tom, can you believe him? I'm telling you.
He's okay.
Who would you vote for and why?
I would vote for Ted Cruz, and here's why.
Okay.
I think he's the smartest person on either side. I think he has integrity. I mean, he's stood up multiple times for 5-10 hours filibustering on the Senate floor for things he believed in. And the main reason is because his number one platform is the $17 trillion in debt that we're in. That's really a mess that we're going to leave our kids and our grandkids. And your other caller, Dave, said something about the economy. Well, you could have all the views you want on social issues or other political issues, but if there's no money and the ship sinks, it really doesn't matter what else happens. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Does it bother you at all? He's one of the guys that keeps talking about doing things for the veterans, but he keeps voting things down when it comes to a bill. He keeps voting down against all sorts of things that would benefit them. Does that kind of disturb you a little bit?
I understand your point, but I guess we could probably make that same argument with Hillary Clinton, with Marco Rubio, with anybody who has any track record in politics. They're going to change their mind. They're going to flip-flop occasionally. I mean, I think that's part of that, the nature of that stage. You know, nobody's perfect, and no one's going to bat 1,000%.
Yeah. You're riling the witness. You can't.
I am leading the witness.
Term,
I am.
Yes.
No, I don't mean to do that. All right. So a vote for Ted Cruz for you.
Just on the financial side of it, I'm really, really worried about the debt that we have and what the future looks like. And,
all right.
You know, we've got an 11%. If you take out the people who quit working, you know, looking for work, we have over 11% in real unemployment. And I think that's where a lot of the anger is coming from, is that there's frustration with the economy and people aren't getting raises and jobs aren't being, other than, you know, McDonald's and service level jobs that are not good paying jobs. There's a big concern, and there's a lot of frustration.
All right, Tom.
So, and I think a lot of it's economically based. So, thanks
your vote is registered. Absolutely.
Thank you. Your
I
vote.
I registered his vote.
It's quick, easy. It's the law.
Yep.
Barbara's on the line. Barbara, election today. Who are you voting for, and why?
Wendy and Bill. I think you guys are great.
Thank you.
Thank you. We would run the country down into the crapper
in minutes.
No, you wouldn't. I would vote for Trump today.
You would? Why?
Because, you know, I think he needs a chance. Give him a chance. He's not part of these dirty politics that are going on in the U.S., you know? I like some of the things he stands for.
Now, Barbara, I've been accused of leading the witness more than once, so let me keep that streak alive with you. He has said some things that are a little bit on the sexist side.
Racist.
And slightly racist. Yeah. Does that bother you at all?
No,
no,
at
you
all.
Don't. No, all right.
You know, he says it the way he feels. I mean, I think he's honest about the things that he says. He comes right out and says it. He doesn't lie or like Hillary. What does Hillary do? She's lied to us so much already.
That, but see, this is just like the label everybody gets. You know what I mean?
But he did just lie about, or I should let's say exaggerate. He just exaggerated the unemployment numbers dramatically a day ago. You saw that, right?
Yes, I did.
All right.
You got to let the voters just say who they're voting for.
Because we'll spend all day going,
why, Barbara, why?
All right.
Thank you.
All right, you have a vote for Trump. You're in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara.
She's not in. But
that's true. I shouldn't do
that. Well, because, I mean, we'll be here all day.
All right.
Mark, who are you going to vote for and why if the election was held today?
I would vote for Hillary.
Okay. Why?
And the reason why is I think she's probably, of all the people, she's probably the most intelligent. I guess the other day I was watching the news and Bernie himself was on The View. And he, when they asked him to give one word that would describe Hillary, he said intelligent. And I think she's someone who really has a plan as to where this country needs to go. And I think you have a bunch of spoiled, rich people on the other side, particularly Trump, who is one of those billionaires that we need to tax a little bit more. So I have a lot of reasons that I feel that I would go either with Hillary or Bernie. I'm more of a Democrat, and just one other thing, I voted Republican in the past as well. So it's not like I'm one or the other, but I think those two people in particular have the best plan. And I think that the Republican side is just a bunch of spoiled little brats, and they don't seem to be able to speak to any of the issues.
All right. We'll put you down for Hillary, and half of me totally agrees with everything you said about Hillary being very intelligent. And
now, two of our last three listeners have said that Ted Cruz is the most intelligent of the candidates. Our last caller just said that Hillary is the most intelligent of the candidates. Do you think it would sway people at all if all the candidates had to take the same IQ test and one of them scored far higher than the rest? Do you think that that would make a difference?
No, because I'll tell you the truth. That is not a good judge of what a president is going to be.
Well, you section it off into different things. You section it off into experience, into tact, there's so many criteria that you can choose when choosing the president. I just wonder, like I said, two of the last three just said, for intelligence alone, that's my guy or that's my girl. But I wonder if they were all forced to take the same test. You get 100 questions, an IQ test, and one of them scores just head and shoulders above the rest. Would that wake people up and go, wow, that guy or that girl really is the smartest?
But, you know, there's street smart and then there's book smart.
Right.
And
what you're talking about is wisdom.
Right.
Wisdom. Right. Not.
Well,
not
doesn't
an IQ.
Experience. Yeah. It's right. It's not IQ. You're right. Because experience, I got to tell you, so much of me likes Hillary and so much of me is holding back against Hillary. So I agree with some of the things that he said there. Shall we keep going?
Yeah. Do we have time or do you want to, you tell me how
we're
doing time? Wes,
we got last chance right here and then we'll keep going after the news. Who would you vote for today and why?
I would say Ted Cruz.
Because?
I consider myself a constitutional conservative, and I feel he stands up for the rights of the people the way that it was written way back when, and that's how we should continue to live.
Okay.
That's a great answer.
All right.
Thank you, Wes. Now I'm going to flip-flop, and I like Ted Cruz
for
a minute.
Now you just changed your mind again.
I don't know what to do. And that's
because the caller called and said Ted Cruz is constitutional?
I listened. I am so easily swayed.
Yes. You're wearing suede today for a reason. All right, let's do this. We're tabulating the votes. It's Mock the Vote. Your voice can be heard at 312-981-7200. All we're going to ask you is who you're voting for and why. Steve's going to give you the news, and then we'll finish this up in just a little bit. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Vote for Mr. Rhythm. Raise up your voice and vote for Mr. Rhythm, the people's choice.
All right, it is Mock the Vote, your chance to let us know who you're voting for. Wendy can't figure out who, which of the candidates is best suited, so all you need to do...
This could be the last caller.
All you need to do is give us a call, tell us who you're voting for, and
watch
why.
Me change my mind every time you call.
Right.
Kyle, you've been on hold. Who are you going to vote for if it was today and why?
I am going to vote for probably Ted Cruz because he's going to repeal and replace Obamacare, and I've never liked the law all the way back from when I graduated high school, and and I don't really think Hillary's very good because, you know, we can't trust her. She lies about Benghazi, and she then lies to us again about the emails and stuff, and so, and I'm not feeling Bernie, so that's who I'm going to vote for.
Ted Cruz. All right, Kyle, thank you so much. Not feeling the burn, are you? That's just fun to say.
He has solar cane on.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Wendy.
Welcome to Mock the Vote.
Thanks. I'm going to vote for Hillary because in spite of what everybody says about her, I think that she's very intelligent, and I agree with her views, and I'm going to give her a chance, and I do trust her.
I don't know if anyone's questioning her intelligence. I've never heard anybody question her intelligence, but it is more a question of trust.
You don't trust her, you said?
No, she said she does.
They don't trust her.
Oh, okay.
People don't trust her, but she's been over the Benghazi thing, and we have talked about her email issue. And
ad nauseum.
And I'm tired of talking about it, you know, and I don't know. I am going to vote for her.
All right.
Okay.
We got you down. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm leaning half that way.
Now you're back to that. All right.
But that's what is going on with this
I'm watching
campaign.
You're like playing Twister.
Shut up.
Left foot blue, right hand red.
If you go to isidewith.com, which someone suggested, and there are some questions that are almost impossible to answer in a yes or no fashion. Mm-hmm. But I tried my best, and you can make certain stipulations, and it says that I side with Bernie Sanders on most 2016 presidential election issues, 94% of me.
You agree with him on 94% of the issues that they provide there on their website.
Right, according to how I answered the questions. 93% of me likes Hillary Clinton. 91% of me is with the Green Party, Jill Stein.
Oh.
And 89% of me is with Michael Bloomberg, who isn't even in the race yet.
Well, who's Jill Stein?
She's because the Green Party.
My daughter sent me I think my daughter was on that site last night, and she sent me a text. Who the heck is Jill Stein?
Yeah.
She's not getting the press. The Green Party.
Is she even running?
Yeah.
My daughter?
She's running, but they don't get much press-wise. I couldn't even tell you who their candidate was last time around.
Is Bloomberg running yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, why is he on here then?
Because people are considering him to be a very good possibility.
He cannot run and still get more votes than the Green Party candidate will in November.
Amen. John is on the line. Who would you vote for and why, John?
I would vote for Kasich.
Because?
Because he's the only one of the candidates. Well, Hillary, but I can't stand Hillary. But he's the only one that can work with Congress and get things done. You have Trump. You have Cruz. They say they're going to do this, but the president doesn't put programs in place. He has to work with the Congress. Kasich, I have a good friend from Ohio who said his family is all diehard Democrats.
Yeah.
And they have nothing bad to say about Kasich, that he has got, and he's brought them out of a deficit situation, and he works, he's got the ability to work with people. He's got experience working in Washington and experience as a governor. The worst one is Ted Cruz because, and Bernie Sanders, they would divide our country into almost civil war.
John, thank you so much. And Steve Bertrand has said, look out for Kasich. And it is pronounced Kasich?
Kasich, yes.
With a K?
But to his, it probably won't help him, but he is considered the Democrats' favorite Republican.
Right.
That might help him a lot.
And for the obvious reason, Steve, is that he's the most moderate. He's most in the middle of any of the Republican candidates, correct?
He's certainly he's the most positive, the less strident. So he's, you know, the Republicans are running against the White House, so... he's the least vocal when it comes to saying Democrats are terrible.
Right, right.
Thank you so much for your call, John. We appreciate it. Mock the Vote continues with Pam, who has called in. 312-981-7200. If the election was today, who would you vote for and why? Hi, Pam.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're doing good. Who would you vote for?
I would vote for Hillary. I cannot believe some of the comments about Ted Cruz. I can't even go there. I'm so upset by him. The fact that we would consider the debt, you know, we're not a business. We're a government. We're always going to have debt because we have to have a wide variety of programs. I think that Hillary 8 years ago was actually the ideal candidate. We did go for idealism 8 years ago, that spirit that Barack Obama excited people with. Mm-hmm. Now I think that we might have to be more pragmatic, and I think that's what Hillary brings to the cause. Not only her intelligence, but the experience that she has, what she has seen. She was the one who brought, you know, healthcare while Bill Clinton was in office, and that got shut down. I think it's her time. I think that men sometimes have a hard time with a strong female candidate.
I do, too. And I agree with that, Pam. But
you know, she's got, you know, the experience puts her at the top. If I had to vote for a Republican, I, too, would think that John Kasich would be my choice. But since I'm not going to be
right.
a Republican,
mm-hmm. Hillary's your
Hillary
vote.
Clinton.
Excellent.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I agree. I think there are not you, not Steve, not Kevin, not any of my family members, but there are a lot of men who think, oh, God, seriously, we can't have a woman president. And I don't know if it's we can't have a woman president or we can't have Hillary as the first woman president.
I wonder.
I'm just curious about it. We are taking your votes as we are doing a mock election today here on WGN. Karen, who are you voting for and why?
I'm voting for Hillary. Because, once again, I think she's the most intelligent of the candidates. She has experience and a track record of fighting for health care, civil rights, human rights, the middle class. She has international experience, which we know
she does, totally.
Is extremely important these days.
A good track record and a good track suit, I'm sure she has.
Right.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Karen.
Excellent. Thanks, Karen.
We've got Rick on the line who's going to cast his vote right now. Hi, Rick.
How you doing, Wendy, Bill? I enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
Caller.
Thank you.
Here's my my flair is that it's Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, but because?
Because level-headed, a very steady hand on the throttle, and it'll get even stronger and better when he picks Elizabeth Warren as vice president.
Do you think Bernie Sanders can win?
I think he can, and I think he can with a good, strong vice president. That's why I say Elizabeth Warren would be that choice. And I'll tell you, I just cannot put a guy in the White House that has tantrums like the Trumpster with his finger on the nuclear button. I just can't do that. And the only other thing I can add to that is, you know, never ever put a billionaire in charge of the big show, because when you do that, like you did over in Russia with Putin, you will have corruption like you won't believe.
Putin's got way better abs, though. Thank you, Rick.
Steve, a quick question, as that is a bigger and bigger possibility all the time of Elizabeth Warren possibly being a vice presidential candidate. Normally, the tactic is you go for somebody as your vice president who has different strengths than the president has and sometimes different belief systems. But Elizabeth Warren is very similar to Bernie Sanders in some ways, not the socialist that Bernie, he considers himself a democratic socialist. But there are a lot of similarities in those two. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that wouldn't probably be his running mate.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, if Sanders is going to run where he lacks a sort of foreign policy experience or expertise.
So you get somebody with more of that.
Clinton. Maybe. He can get Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Right. Or Hillary Clinton could get Elizabeth Warren.
Right. Oh, wow.
I mean, that then shores up the left for her.
But that would, as Wendy just pointed out, there's people who don't want one woman in office.
I am not about to cast my vote for those two broads.
I'm not voting for Cagney and Lacey for president and vice president.
No way.
You're going to get a lot of that.
Cagney and Lacey. Just think of the stickers.
Right. All right. Your votes matter. We're 312-981-7200. It's Mock the Vote. Who are you voting for and why? We'll get to your calls in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Mock the Vote. Oh, I thought you were going on a different microphone to sing a different part of something. We have to find out who you would vote for if the election was held today, and Tom's been on hold for a long time. So, Tom, who would you vote for and why?
Of all the craziest reasons, I've been conservative. I tried to be liberal my entire life, and everything forces me into a conservative view. I'd vote for Trump. For another crazy reason, America seems to go down its path like a drunk down the hallway in a bad stucco hallway and scrapes along to the left side and bleeds badly.
and then slams to the right and scrapes badly on the right side for a while.
Boy, you've painted a lovely stucco picture, I got to tell you, because it hurts the knuckles.
And it hurts to get down the hallway, but we do in an ugly fashion. And there's a lot of money that sat on the side keeping this money, this country from working because they didn't like Mr. Obama, whether you do or you don't. I've never voted for anyone who won. I've always voted for independence. But, like, at this point, I watch this country, I'm 54, go back and forth. And it would be time that we slam the other way just for balance. It's an ugly way to achieve balance.
Tom, you sounded surprised yourself when Wendy asked you who you were voting for and you said Donald Trump. You sounded like you were surprising yourself in saying that, are you? You are.
Very much, because I'd like to be completely liberal, and I see entropy, things falling apart. And you can look all that up, and I live fixing things that break and troubleshooting things that don't work right to make them
behave. Well, then why don't you run, Tom? I'm voting for you.
I'm sorry. I've got my own private wars to fight. But like I said, I've spent my entire life trying to be liberal and think like a Democrat, but to make life work and support a family and put a house or a roof over the head, everything pushes me into, like,
Trump.
I didn't vote for Reagan, but we had 8 years. And all these things, I was never the winner. But yet I see, like, what I've determined is, like, this ugly path of the drunk down the bad, stuckled hallway.
Right.
We're bleeding badly on the left. We need to stop bleeding. We need to walk down the hallway straight.
All right. Tom, put him down for Trump. And
got him down.
Little River Band once sang, "It's time for a cool change."
They sang it so beautifully, too, Wendy. I am tabulating, for people wondering, I am keeping track of all these votes. I have a giant scorecard in front of me. We'll announce the winner when we're done.
Mock the vote. Don't mock the vote. Baby, Elaine, who would you vote for and why?
Oh, my goodness, I vote for Hillary. But, from all of the reasons that the pro-Hillary people mentioned to you already, I can tell from the voices I am probably your oldest call-in. And I have obviously been through lots and lots of elections and campaigning. I have been unfortunate to me to view this type of campaigning, the vitriol expressions going back and forth about people, it sickens me. Hillary has the experience. Yes, she made mistakes. Heck, which one of us hasn't?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of Mr. Sanders coming in with his ideas, his giving away, we're going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you, and that's why all these young people are voting, want to vote for him, because, oh my goodness, he's going to give us free this, and he's going to give us free that. Who's going to pay for it? He is a socialist. He's, I won't call him a demagogue. Yes, he speaks well, but there's no stuff behind the talk. The same with Trump. There's no stuff behind the talk. Trump talks from the advantage, from the high point of his money. I'm sorry to hesitate as I am, but it's...
Don't worry.
No, you want to say the right thing, so we'll put you down for Hillary.
You're in. You're
in.
Thanks, Elaine. Appreciate the call.
Some of these Donald Trump.
Am I tabulating the text votes as well, or do you not want me to? It's up to you.
No, I'm just reading comments.
Right.
Congress will never cooperate with Trump. With Trump, what do people think he's actually going to be able to do? Not to mention how embarrassing he is. Someone else says Trump would send our young boys to war. I have a 14-year-old and I'm worried. Hillary, all the Republicans scare me and Bernie isn't electable. I would most definitely vote for Hillary, but I don't think it's a really good idea because most of the countries that we deal with are the most dangerous, do not respect women, and we may lose our power as a force to be reckoned with a woman president.
But there's other countries around the world. Germany's doing actually a pretty good job right now with a woman at the helm. I think the days of saying a woman can't run a country, if that was ever a credible argument, I don't think it was. I don't understand why anyone would think that at this point.
You have just been voted Captain Swoon by all the women listening right now.
It's true. It disturbs me, though, that anybody would say, just by virtue of her being a woman, you can't run a country if you're a woman. That's like there was a time where you'd think you can't be a doctor or a lawyer if you're a woman, and that's not true.
But other countries who put women in subservient roles, would they be able to deal with a woman? I don't know.
Your major countries realize that, you know, it's 2016, and you could...
It's the year of Cagney and Lacey.
The year, yeah. It's the year of the monkey. We should have a monkey be the president.
It's the year of the monkey.
It is the year of the
monkey. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to do some news. We'll finish up whoever is on hold right here for our Mock the Vote, okay? Right. Does that seem fair?
Yeah. So news is next, and then back to your votes. We're almost done. We'll find out who you're choosing as the winner if the election were today. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You know that song now, don't you?
Is this Alice Cooper? Yeah. Now I know this song. It's Mock the Vote time. The election isn't until November, but we're curious. And Wendy can't decide who to vote for, so she said, let's turn it to the listeners. Who are you voting for and why? I'm tabulating all the votes, and I'll announce the winner upon its completion coming up pretty soon.
Sometime before 3. And listeners, you got to get right to the point. Who are you voting for? And a quick couple of reasons. We'll start with Barry. Hi, Barry.
Hi, guys. First of all, I'd like to say I love both of you. I listen to you every day.
Barry, you're very kind. Thank you.
I'll make two quick points, and I'll hang up and listen to your response. I would vote for Trump. The reason why I would vote for Trump is because, number one, nobody brings this up, is you're bringing in, like, specifically Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are two parts of a machine that came right out of Illinois, and look at the problems we're having in Illinois now. Okay. The second thing, even though Trump's a loudmouth and, you know, like kind of like one of those, well, he's kind of crazy. There's no doubt about it. But he's also a creative thinker. You know what I mean? You put somebody like that in office, he might not last 4 years, but he'd definitely bring out some of the problems that it's wrong with Washington. I'll hang up now and listen to what your response is. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Put him down for Trump. And that does make sense. It's like the world can't be fixed in one term. But perhaps this will draw to light what is the problem with the whole world, and then Trump will take us down the drain.
I've heard more than one person say what Barry just said, which is he may not last the full 4 years, which is alarming to me because that's one of those jobs that you want to think if somebody's going to take it, they're going to last the 4 years.
Well, what, is he going to quit? Well, I bet he will.
Well,
he's that type of person to say, if I don't get my way, I'm quitting. Take your job back.
There's always a chance of that with him, I would imagine. And then there's also the thing that I've brought up several times, which is the amount of money he would lose, because he has said publicly that his only priority would be running the country. He's got other businesses, but he would put those aside to run the country. He'd be losing so much money.
He's got so much money. What does he care?
I know.
This is the winner of the popularity contest, something he hasn't achieved yet.
Yeah, I know. And Bloomberg has more money than Trump does.
Why didn't I just marry one of those two guys? Why did I marry for love?
Is it too late? Is it too late?
Hi, Janet. Who are you going to vote for and why? Did you put him down for Trump, by the way?
Yeah, I got him down. I got him down for Trump.
All right. Go ahead, Janet.
John Kasich.
Because?
I watch all the debates. John Kasich.
Yeah.
I watch all the debates. I do vote for personality. I mean, I think he has a great character. He has experience. He balanced the budget. He's been involved in D.C., I cannot stand Hillary. She's a liar. She'll probably be indicted. I can't stand Obama. He's more of a socialist than Bernie Sanders. And our country is founded on democracy. So I am for John Kasich.
All right. You're in.
Thanks, Janet.
We got it. Can I tell you where I give Kasich heavy
Kasich,
credit?
Kasich, right?
Because
everybody's saying
Kasich.
It wrong.
I know.
And
I know
you're
it's
gonna
Kasich.
If you're going to vote for somebody, please get their name right. I'm going to vote for Kleintang.
That's not how you say it. When this thing started, most of the other candidates on the Republican side had some sort of national recognition. You know, you knew who Bush was.
Yeah.
You knew who Cruz was. You knew who Rubio was. Kasich was the one who kind of came out of nowhere. And every time he'd stand up there in those early debates, people go,
who's this guy?
I don't know who that guy is. And now all of a sudden, he is a threat. There's a chance of him.
I don't know. Steve Bertrand did warn us to look out for him, but Kristen McQuarrie was saying she doesn't see him doing well in South Carolina.
Kasich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's got trouble ahead, I think. But he was suited very nicely for New Hampshire.
All right, Tom, who would you vote for and why as we mock the vote today?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to be a Trump supporter.
You are? Why?
I spent 38 years in the political arena. And in the political arena, I was not a politician. I was an employee to a municipality. And I watched how the politics and the political machines worked. And I'm looking for somebody that's going to be somewhat of a independent in thinking. I don't want somebody that's going to be bought, somebody that's going to be run by another type of machine. I want somebody that's going to come into this country and start building this country back to what it was years ago. I am 68 years old. I went through several eras, several presidents. And as far as taking a Congress working with the president, I really can't think back, except for possibly Reagan, where Congress really worked well with any president.
Right.
So
right.
My vote is going to be for Congress.
For Trump. Tom, can I ask you a question, though? Do you feel confident when Donald Trump, if he was to become president, goes to another country to deal with foreign policy? Do you feel comfortable that he will be representing the American public appropriately? Or you don't even care?
From that standpoint, I've had that conversation with several people, and I do feel that he will be versed in his appearance and as well as his actions outside of this country. Not one president that I know of has really ever taken on a foreign issue or policy by himself. It's always been a team of people.
True.
And I have to feel that that he will put in place the correct people to help guide this country.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you so much. See, we all learn from each other, you know, and we can have a nice conversation about who you're going to vote for, Dave.
Hey, love you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it. I'll be real brief and real to the point. Hillary, A, she is intelligent. B, she has street smarts, and that showed out pretty darn well in the hearings that she attended. She wasn't ruffled at any point during the hearing. She answered every question. She walked away from it in fine standing. The problems that I have on the other side of the coin with Trump and his supporters, you get four or five pat answers that come back. One, the people don't come back with anything that is talkable or workable. You get the same words that Trump says, the malfunctions and the lies that come out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get the comment that all Hillary does is lie.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other side of it, did you forget your meds? Have you got your meds? No, you need meds. That's all that they can come back with. They cannot come back with anything straightforward to talk about or anything else. So if you talk off Trump or
Cruz, all right, now you've confused me. Who'd you go for, Dave?
He's going for Hillary Clinton.
Go for Hillary.
Yeah. All right.
And as far as Kasich goes, you got to keep as far as Kasich for women. His first plan is to defund Planned Parenthood as soon as he walks in the door. The Planned Parenthood has helped so many women in so many issues. They need to be stayed.
All right, and absolutely look into that because you can't take Dave's word as truth. Look it up if that's important to you and an important issue. Look it up.
Who is it, Steve? Maybe you'll remember on the Democratic side who said not only will we not defund Planned Parenthood, but we'll throw more money Planned Parenthood's way. Do you remember? Was that Hillary Clinton or was that Bernie Sanders?
I don't remember.
Barack Obama.
Is it Barack Obama?
I don't know.
Somebody said it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought that's an interesting stance to take.
I know that Bernie Sanders, when Bernie Sanders was painting Hillary Clinton as being part of the establishment,
yeah,
he cited her support for Planned Parenthood.
As if to say that he was not the biggest supporter of it?
But just to sort of say that she was a bigger supporter. I don't know. So, I mean, I don't know where that goes.
Let me see if I can find out who. Somebody did say that they would want to fund it even more, not only not pull back on it, but fund it more.
I heard that, too, but I can't remember who it was. Carly Fiorina has dropped or suspended her bid for president. Is this you, Carly?
No.
Okay, just curious.
I
bottom line, I would vote for Trump.
You would? Today, because why?
I cannot stand any of the other candidates. They make my screen crawl.
If there was, can I ask you this? If there was one thing about Trump that you would change, what would that one thing be?
Some of his blurtness.
Yeah.
His abrupt, you know. But I do feel that he will bring a team in that the smartest, the most intelligent, and he won't just go blind into anything. And he will fight for what he wants.
Yeah.
He won't just back down and say, okay. He will fight for the country.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt in my mind.
All right. We've got you down for Trump. Thanks, Carly. Appreciate it. Have a good week. Is this making this easier for you or harder for you?
I don't know. I'm more
confused.
It's making
it more difficult for you.
Quick break and wrap this up.
Yeah, we have a little bit more time. If you're on hold, stay there and we'll get to your calls. It's Mock the Vote. If the election was held today, who would you vote for and why? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll tabulate your votes right after this next round. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's your last chance for today's episode of Mock the Vote. You tell us who you're going to vote for and why. We're tabulating all the results, both by way of phone and by text.
And we are just going to get through the people who are on hold right now. So if you're on hold, sit tight. Tell us who you're going to vote for and why as briefly as possible. Rich, what do you think?
Voting for Ted Cruz because he is the most opposite of what we currently have.
All right.
Good enough.
Do you guys, hey, Bill, you mentioned that Trump lied about the real unemployment. Do you know what it is?
I will find the example. I found two stories, one last night, one today, about how he exaggerated the unemployment numbers. Do you have it in front of you? Because I'll look for it and find it if you don't.
Well, everybody says it's 4.7,
yeah.
4.9.
Yeah.
It's actually between 10 and 12%.
And that's taking into account people who have just stopped.
Working. Do you know that there are approximately 93 million people that are unemployed, not working in this country? The labor participation rate is around 63%. It's
right.
The lowest since the 70s. What has this president done that's been successful? Another vote for Hillary Clinton would be a third term of Obama.
All right, we've got you down for Ted Cruz.
Thank you, Rich.
Everybody's numbers, it's really funny because it's not funny, it's tragic. They publish what the numbers are, but then everybody goes, you got to take this into account, though, and that into account, though.
Everybody makes up their own argument.
Yeah, I know.
Tom, who are you voting for and why?
First and foremost, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'd like to say I'm an independent. I am blind to gender. I am blind to race. But I am not blind to politicians. I believe we've gotten this far from the career politicians.
So you want the crazy white guy.
Yep. Yep.
Put you down for Trump?
It's Trump. Yeah.
It's worse.
All right, thank you.
How did you know that was coming?
Not against women,
how
not against
you know?
Ethnicities. So give me the crazy white man.
All right.
Is this Lewis?
Yes.
Hi, Lewis. Who are you voting for and why?
Okay, I'm going with Kasich. If I was to vote today, I'd vote for Kasich. I think he's the most moderate. I think they're all intelligent, or else they wouldn't be there. But he's the most decent, I think, the most common sense. He seems like a nice guy, but he's done a lot. He's been in Washington. He's been a governor. He's willing to work with both sides. My first preference would be Trump because I think it's time to throw out all the politicians and go with the businessmen to run the country. But foreign policy-wise, he kind of scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So domestically, I think Trump would be fantastic. But dealing with foreign leaders, I don't know. I mean, I kind of... That's what scares me with him.
All right, so final
Otherwise,
answer, Kasich.
Kasich.
All right.
Got it,
We Lewis. Have you down. Thank you, Lewis.
And we have a couple more here, and then we'll tabulate the votes.
All right.
Adam.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm one of those anti-political millennials. And so I'm going to go ahead and write in Tom Skilling because I think he can take care of the global warming issue that we're in.
I'm so with
he's
you.
He's a hell of a nice guy.
Sweet man, that
nice
Tom
man.
Skilling.
I think you ought to go with him, Wendy.
It's All a right. vote for the I Tell You party.
That would be the name of his party.
I tell you, the country's heading in the right direction.
I'll tell you what, Tom, you can tell me as much as you want whenever you want.
Sure.
And I'd listen.
All right.
All right, a couple more here, and this is Susan. Hi, Susan. Who would you vote for and why?
I would vote for Hillary Clinton because she's an experienced she's an experienced person. She knows the world. Domestic issues, irregardless, I think you have to know our enemies in the Middle East. Now, I also want to mention that if, in fact, a Republican, I would vote for Jeb Bush because he also has that experience and they're diplomatic. That's the thing. You have to be diplomatic. Trump is not a diplomat. Ronald Reagan was a diplomat. Gerald Ford was a diplomat. Even though the Republicans, they were diplomatic. And you have to, I also think that comment about not respecting a woman as a leader in the Middle East was a valid comment. So perhaps Jeb Bush, with all his, you know, we have to deal with the enemies in the Middle East. That's the most important thing. Domestic issues are nice, and I like Bernie Sanders, but I do believe.
So who are you going with? Because, Susan, I have completely gone in a circle, and I thought it was Hillary, then I thought it was Jeb. Who are you going for?
No. Well, I definitely am going to vote for Hillary Clinton. But,
all right.
Hillary Clinton.
Trump would be the worst Republican.
All right. This is all a matter of opinion. We just want to know who you were voting for. You got it down for Hillary.
I put her down for Hillary Clinton.
All right. We have time for one more. All Thank right. you so much, Susan, for calling. And Kathy on the line. Our last vote for the day for Mock the Vote. Who are you voting for and why?
Hillary Clinton, for sure. At this point, there is no one else who's anywhere near as qualified. We wouldn't have a lot of time wasted because there isn't a learning curve. She's been in the White House before. She's got lots of varied experiences as a senator, as secretary of state. She's seen it from so many different sides. She definitely would be the best person for the job. That's all.
All right. Thank you so much. I am swayed so easily. I find myself nodding and going, oh, God, you're so right on that.
You know what I like is that there were, and they weren't all the same name, two or three different names. How many people mispronounced
Kasich?
Well, there was others, though, too. I heard a Saunders or Sanders and
just one. I really heard Kasich is the only one being.
But I mean, it just kind of tells me like that some of us are so tuned in and the rest of us just aren't yet.
Well,
you
it
know?
Seems
we
like
just aren't.
A lot of us, you know, I hear people on news stations and stuff. Oh, no, Hillary, she's a liar. Oh, that stuff about Benghazi. A lot of times I want to say, tell me that stuff about Benghazi. Sometimes I think political ideas are like sports radio where people are just regurgitating what they've heard from someone else say.
Yeah.
But it's finally, you know, I'm glad we did this Mock the Vote because I finally made my decision.
Well, do you? I don't know if you want to disclose yours.
No, we can do
yours,
the tallies
but
and
I'll tell
you
who,
after the news.
Yeah. So we'll announce who won. We had a phone poll and we had a text poll and we'll add those up and give you the winners right after Steve's news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Time for cool change. I know that it's time for a cool
can't get enough Little River Band, Wendy. That's impossible. We just had Mock the Vote. This was a chance for you to let people know who you're voting for and why. We had two ways of doing this, of course, by phone or by text. I have tabulated all the totals, and I'll give you the results in just a little bit. But first, while talking to the people as they were announcing who they were voting for and why, of course, Donald Trump's name came up, and whether or not he is playing with the numbers just a little bit. And I mentioned that I read something last night and then again this morning.
Oh, right, about the unemployment.
About the unemployment numbers. I'll read you the exact quote. This is out of the New York Times from yesterday. This is Donald Trump speaking yesterday. Don't believe these phony numbers when you hear 4.9 and 5% unemployment. The number's probably 28, 29, as high as 35. In fact, I even heard recently 42%. Now, be honest. Do you believe that this country now has 42% unemployment? That means that more than 4 out of every 10 people are unemployed. I'm pretty sure that's not true.
So do we have the real rate?
Well, the real number is a tricky number because they're reporting it to be somewhere in the low fives, 5.3, 5.4%. But as a caller mentioned, and this is a fact, they want to make the number a little more attractive than it really is. The number is going to be a lot higher, not a lot higher, but a little bit higher than 5.something%, because there are a lot of people whose either benefits have run out or they have just said point blank, I've been trying to get a job for a year and a half. I can't get a job. I'm going to stop looking. So they stop. That figure doesn't reflect those people. But I can guarantee you, as Donald Trump mentioned, he said it's probably 28, 29, or as high as 35. In fact, I even heard recently 42%. That's 100% unfounded. That's impossible.
Well, he just says anything. And again, like sports radio, honestly, when people say something, you believe it. And then you go, you tell two friends and so on and so on. And that's how this crazy thing keeps going.
Here's what gets alarming. In the early days of Trump, early Trump, there was a certain kind of audience that was attracted to him who just kind of went, yeah, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's lying. I don't care. I just want somebody who's different and he's different. So I'm going to side with him. But now you're getting people who seem to be a lot more intelligent. There are you know what it reminds me of NASCAR. Like, remember where there was a time where you could look at somebody and go, well, that guy over there, that's a NASCAR fan. But then all of a sudden NASCAR got really popular and you didn't know who was and was not a NASCAR fan. This is what it's like with Donald Trump, because now a couple of the callers who called up and we would say, who are you voting for and why? They'd say Trump, and then they'd say the reasons, and you go, oh, all right, I kind of understand that.
I know.
So what happened?
I don't know, but I was flip-flopping like a beanbag doll.
Like a beanbag doll.
I really was, and then I've decided I'm going with Tom Skilling.
You're going to vote for Tom Skilling. We did have somebody as a write-in say Tom Skilling. All right, here are the results. Are you ready? On the Republican side, you will not be shocked to learn that Donald Trump was the leader. He had the most votes, and this is a combination of both by way of phone and by way of text. He had quite a bit more than second place. That's John Kasich, who came in second place. Ted Cruz came in third. And then a distant fourth and fifth were Marco Rubio and Ben Carson. There wasn't a single vote, I'm not making this up, by way of call or by way of text, not a single vote for Jeb Bush. Nobody.
Susan at the very end said that if she had to pick a Republican, she'd go Jeb Bush,
right.
But we took her Hillary vote to count.
Right.
That's the only time I heard his name mentioned.
Jeb Bush got no votes, which I thought there'd be a couple. Michael Bloomberg, who is not officially a candidate, also came away with no votes. The Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, had no votes. So Tom Skilling beat all those people. Tom Skilling got more votes than Jeb Bush. On the Democratic side, and again, this is a combination of both phone and text votes, Hillary Clinton had more than double the votes of Bernie Sanders. So Clinton was the number one winner on the Democratic side, Trump on the Republican side, and head-to-head, Hillary Clinton had a substantial number more than Donald Trump. I will also mention a couple of write-ins.
That's really interesting, though, is that not? Just random callers?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm most surprised that Jeb Bush got zero support at all. And I also thought that maybe Marco Rubio and Ben Carson might get a couple more votes, but they did not. They had a very small amount. Here's just a couple of write-ins that I think you'll enjoy. I'll just mention some because some of the text write-ins were interesting. David Hochberg, who helps a lot of people with refinancing their houses, got a vote.
There you go, Trump Hochberg.
He's too busy to run.
Trump Hochberg.
He can be vice president with Trump. They'd be a good little team, the hotheads.
Right.
I don't think they have a jet that's big enough for that.
This is a nostalgic vote, but I think some people will enjoy this. Late comedian Pat Paulson got a vote. He used to run for president every 4 years. Never got very far, but people still remember Pat Paulson. And then this is the other one that I found. alarming but fun, Puppy Monkey Baby got a vote.
Oh, great.
So you may see that as a presidential hopeful in November.
Again, thanks to everybody who participated, and I'm just curious to see if these people would be voting for these particular candidates later on down the line, because this is very early.
Well, here's, for me anyway, this is what the most interesting part is. When they kept doing these polls early on, this is prior to Iowa and prior to New Hampshire, you're seeing a lot of support for Trump, and everybody said, yeah, but will this translate to votes? It's support, but does that mean votes? Now, we asked today, point blank, who are you voting for? Not who do you like or what do you like about this guy or this woman. Who are you voting for and why? And Donald Trump did very well.
He didn't win, though.
He did not win. He won on the Republican side, but he did not have enough to beat Hillary Clinton.
And someone else suggested isidewith.com. You said you did this, your girls told you about it, or you did it at home.
I found it on my own a week or so ago, a little over a week.
You just answer a whole bunch of questions about various things, popular issues, gun liability, foreign aid, Federal Reserve, North Korea military strikes, skilled immigrants, ISIS ground troops, and then you answer the questions. It's yes or no questions, and sometimes you can customize them a bit, like yes, but under this stipulation. And if you go according to that, it'll give you who you think, who this computer program thinks you should vote for. And according to this, when I answered these questions, I side with Bernie Sanders on most 2016 presidential election issues.
Hmm.
that Bernie Sanders 94%, 93% on Hillary Clinton. So I'm exactly where I was before, not knowing which to get. Jill Stein, the Green Party, 91%. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how she was chosen for my answers.
Because she's in agreement with a lot of the same statements or stances you took during the test.
Well, obviously, but I didn't think I was, you know, I do care about the environment and,
right.
You know, the climate change, but I didn't think I was up there with the Green Party. And then 89% of my vote would go to Michael Bloomberg, who isn't even running yet, and 68% Jeb Bush. How about that?
Interesting. I was curious who on the Republican side they would toss your way.
68% Jeb Bush was my vote, 56% Donald Trump.
Steve, I've asked you this before in different forms, but I'm more and more curious as it goes on and the days become more desperate for Jeb Bush. How is he not getting any kind of respect or traction at all? Isn't that kind of surprising?
Well, it's been surprising, yeah. Now, I think South Carolina is a huge test for him because it's been friendly to the Bushes. It's a military state, and, you know, former President Bush has voiced a couple of ads that have been there, so... Yeah. I think this is a big one for him. You know, the beauty of this is just a lesson every week in how different this country is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're voting in Iowa, which is different from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And now we go to South Carolina, which is different from both of them. Nevada soon, another completely sort of
So you need to see a
ecosystem.
Different flavor of whatever candidate it is. You'll see a slightly different flavor depending on the state.
Well, you'll see poor place. I mean, John Kasich's package and message fits nicely in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't in South Carolina. Jeb Bush, what he was offering, they'd hoped would sell a little bit better in New Hampshire than it didn't, but it sort of had a more natural fit in South Carolina. So we'll see, you know, if he's treading in warmer water there, if he picks up more support. If he doesn't, it could be trouble.
And then the Bible Belt states seem to be heading Cruz's way more than anything, wouldn't you say?
Well,
no?
Trump has polled very well there, but again, then you're more in Trump or Cruz home territory. So, you know, that's a section of the country. If you can, you know, put them all together, which we've learned earlier is dangerous. But, you know, that's where he would likely have more support than he would, say, in the Pacific Northwest
sure.
or the Southwest.
Right.
And sorry, I learned yesterday because I am not a politico that we were talking about Jeb Bush off the air. And I'm like, Jebediah, what's his deal? You know, is that his name? And his real name is John Ellis Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And then I proceeded to say to you, I still don't get it,
mm-hmm.
John Ellis Bush.
It would be his initials, wouldn't it?
You're a brave woman. I love that one.
Sorry, but at first I was like, why doesn't it? Because you know why, though, I think? Because why wouldn't you go with John Ellis Bush? That sounds so presidential wonderful instead of Jeb.
I'm not sure. Well, I don't think when he was a kid they were looking at him as presidential material.
No,
maybe.
But he's Texas, called himself Jeb. Don't you change your name at some
maybe.
Point when you're running for president of the United States?
Yeah. Yeah. You would think
not
so.
If you've always been Jeb.
I guess, but
so if he changes it to
Jeb.
John Ellis Bush,
I'll vote for him.
Then you'll vote for him. All right.
He's top on my little survey.
Would you go by Wendella or what's Wendy?
It's just Wendy's my name. Don't wear it out.
Don't wear it out, Steve.
And you can go to isidewith.com and see who you're going to vote for. And if Jeb was going by John Ellis, I would have voted for him. I'm kidding because I know some people think I'm really sincere about
not. A caller made a good point, couldn't hold on the line. Can I tell you what it is in just a little bit? Because I think this plays very much into what we just did here. Stick around. We've got more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Herbie Hancock. That's who I should have voted for.
Herbie Hancock's a genius.
Rocket!
It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Earlier, we did what we called Mock the Vote. This was where you would either call us or text us. And just tell us who you're voting for and why. I know the election's not until November. I get that. But we just wanted to find out what exactly you were thinking. And Hillary Clinton was the winner overall. Donald Trump did the best for the Republicans. Clinton had about 2.5 times as many votes as Bernie Sanders. Jeb Bush with no votes at all, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Two people are saying, hey, why aren't you counting my votes for Jeb? We might have cut off the texts at that point.
I did the last a little over an hour, and at some point, I couldn't tabulate beyond that. So if they did vote for him, I apologize.
Thank God we are not tabulating things for the Oscars.
Well, ironically, Jeb Bush was the one who didn't count the votes properly in an election in Florida once. So it came back to bite him.
Oh, you're right.
It did come back to bite him. Now, a caller called and couldn't stay on the line and said, you have to consider the scope of who your audience is. And that's true. I was going to say that at some point, and I neglected to. I think the station probably skews, I'm not going to say more to the left. Well, I am going to say this station probably skews just a little bit more to the left. I know it skews more to the left than WLS does. I bet if they did the same exact poll at that station, the vote would be dramatically different. You'd probably see Donald Trump be the winner, don't you think?
Yes.
Doesn't that make sense?
I think that caller was also trying to stress in general, because I spoke with him, he was saying that it's a credit to you guys, that the diverse crowd of people that you speak to.
Oh, well, that's thank you.
Thank you. That is
true.
Nice. I did notice a lot of women, and I don't mean to be a sexist or an ageist, but I'm just saying a point here.
Right.
It seemed that a lot of the women that called whose voices sounded older were surefire win for Hillary.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense because the younger voters and a lot of the younger women voters are looking at Bernie Sanders' way.
Right.
According to the results we've seen so far in some of the polls.
My guess is, and this is just a guess, that as this thing continues, and if you see Bernie Sanders remain as close to Hillary Clinton as he is right now, or was anyway in New Hampshire, that their strategy would have to be to do everything in their power to go after those younger voters. They haven't done it yet. And she's even on several occasions, I've heard her mention how younger voters, the people who are attracted to Bernie, and then she just continues in her whatever she's saying. But I have to think that some strategist somewhere behind the scenes of Hillary Clinton's camp is saying, now's the time to figure out what we need to do to win those people over, the younger kid voters. I say kids, but you know what I mean, 18, 19, 20,
right.
21. We have to see what we can do to pull some of them away, because that's a significant number.
And that's where he's getting most of his interest from.
A lot of it.
I just got an email from the high school that my son goes to, and I liked it because it said, please, if you have a child who's 18 and is going to vote, make sure you fill out these forms and get them registered. And I like that the school is getting involved in that.
Here, I don't know if your school did this. Did your school do essentially what we just did, where you would have a fake election, a mock election, to see who if it was up to your grade school or high school, who the president would be? Did you guys ever do that? Because we did that all the time.
Like in elementary school or junior high or
high school? I remember
doing
it in grade school once and in high school once. I'm trying to remember when the elections were in accordance to when I was in school, but I do remember
we did that.
And I don't know if the results were the same for you, but I noticed our results were dramatically different from the actual elections. Dramatically different.
Because young kids voting
who
have nothing. They have nothing. They're not worried about taxes. They're not worried about retirement.
Right.
It's just different views.
Right. I know. And then when I was a stand-up, I always wanted whoever was the goofiest candidate to win, because that would be better for me.
For your material.
For stand-up, if the goofiest guy won, I won. That was better for me.
Still looking good for us if Trump wins, being on the radio every day.
Right. You can make the argument.
That's the only reason.
That holds true. Well, he's never, I mean, you can say whatever you want about him. It's never a dull moment with him. He will provide content on a daily basis. He has, and he'll continue to.
All right. Somebody wants us to repeat the website, isidewith.com. Isidewith.com.
And they ask you they ask you 15 or 20 questions. Is that what happens there?
Yeah, and there's I don't want to start it over again. But just like, what is your stance on abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Pro-choice, pro-life, other stances, and you can choose other stances, mm-hmm. like pro-life, but only in the case of rape or blah blah blah. I did not pick a good first question, but that is the first question. Do you support the legalization of same-sex marriage? Yes or no, or other stances? If you click on the other stances, yes, but allow churches the right to refuse gay marriage ceremonies. You can really kind of decide what you want. And you know what's kind of interesting about this is you really have a chance to do some soul searching and see what issues are important to you.
Yeah.
But some of them are impossible to answer.
The one about...
should foreign terrorism suspects be given constitutional rights?
Right.
Yes, no, other stances. So I'm sorry, there is no quick answer to this when you start thinking about it. Yes, give them a fair trial and shut down Guantanamo Bay. Yes, just like U.S. citizens, terrorists should be given a fair trial in federal courts or know they are not U.S. citizens and should be subject to enhanced interrogation methods. No, they should be tried in military tribunals, but not subject to torture.
That's a tough. That's one of the tougher ones on there.
I know.
It is. It is.
So think about these things when you're voting, too, because this is kind of an interesting little thing to let you do some self-searching. iSideWith.com.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.